720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Dean Richards. When Rizzo hit that home run, I thought that was it. I'm putting that in the intro. We're good to go.
We're done.
Cubs will be up 2-0.
Can you believe that?
Then, a guy named Zimmerman.
Zim.
It's all right. We still took one.
We took one, they took one. But you know what? Now it's all evened up. It's like starting a whole new series.
Is it?
Because it's
one. Do we have tickets for tomorrow? Who has the station tickets? Can I get in on that?
No, Pete.
Either Monday or Tuesday? What time is the game tomorrow, Sam? It's at 3:30?
Yes,
3:30.
So you can watch the Cubs game, 3:30, and then you flip over and watch the Bears.
God, I'm excited for both games tomorrow.
It's a good sports day
tomorrow.
And you
can listen to the Blackhawks.
All right.
Yeah, that's it. I live in the city. I pride myself on knowing the streets. I know the grid. Up and down.
What's going on?
I left
today,
my house at 7:45 this morning. I showed up at 8:59.
So, Pete, you're on your way in, and you said, called me up and said, Jane, I'm stuck. Where does the marathon go?
I got stuck. I forgot. I don't know what
you
I was thinking.
Couldn't get around anywhere.
Well, I thought once you get on Kinzie, you can go underneath, like behind, but
the trick was getting onto Kinzie. Right?
Yeah, that was it. Thanks, Dave. Yeah. So I turn on the radio and I hear Shawnee talking about it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I got to get around this thing.
He said, Jane, I'm going to keep going west. I'm going to drive around the whole thing. I said, Pete, it goes all the way out to Ashland and then down to 18th Street.
Right.
And then, and I said, you can't.
Do you guys have that moment where, and you know the Chicago streets, but you have that moment where you just panic and you have to, I had the pull over and I'm like, okay.
Where am I going?
You got to take a breath. You got to get it together. You know the streets. You know how to get on. So I hopped on Randolph. I got on the Kennedy to get on the Eisenhower to get on Lower Wacker Drive.
And who told you to get on Lower Wacker Drive?
You did.
Because I planned my route to get to work for about 2 hours last night.
I can't believe it. You don't plan for anything.
Well, you know how I'm always late?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I figured if I didn't plan, I would be stuck. So I usually like slide in here about 10 minutes to the hour, quarter till. I thought I'll never make it. And then I'll be the girl that's late because I didn't plan.
But oh, my gosh.
Turns out, Pete didn't plan.
I didn't plan at all.
I just knew that going under the city was the best way to do it.
I have to tell you, I haven't been on Lower Wacker in a while. I was like Jimmy Johnson. I'm serious. I was going at least 80 miles an hour. There was nobody on it.
It's fun down there, isn't it?
There's nobody down there.
It's a great secret.
Wow.
Yeah.
I got here in 2 minutes once I got on Lower Wacker.
It was pretty quick, about 10, I think. I said, you have 10 minutes till the show starts, Pete.
Boom. Yeah. Got here in 6.
And you were south. You were way down at
the
Eisenhower.
Eisenhower.
Yeah.
That's where
and
I got
Franklin.
On. Everything's blocked off.
But it's so exciting. When you parked below the Tribune Tower, did you see the runners coming down Columbus and then
I didn't pay attention. I came
that's right.
Right.
You were running. Well, I parked because I was early. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And I got so excited to see these runners that I said, well, forget it. Pete's not here. I've still got 25 minutes. I'm going to go look at him. So I went to Grand Avenue watching these runners go. I started tearing up and crying because this is like such a big, momentous event for them to be running in this race.
It's a big deal. I woke up, looked at Facebook. So many of my friends are running in this. And I was thinking to myself, there's no way I would ever put my body through 26.2 miles.
Have you ever run the marathon?
No.
Oh, you haven't? I thought for sure you had.
No. Anybody on the show? Anybody run the marathon?
Yeah, right.
Sam.
Crickets. I only run when being chased.
What's the longest you've ever run in your whole life?
Ugh, 6 miles.
The farthest? 6 miles?
Yeah.
Okay. What is that, a 10K?
I mean, it's not far compared to 26.2.
They have a race. The only reason I'll do races is if they have beer at the end.
Do they have beer at the end of this one?
Yes, they do.
They do?
Yeah, they have beer at the end of the marathon.
I'm not a big fan.
They have
beer
I think, at mile 20. They have beer during the race.
Really? It's after the cigarette stop.
Seriously, they have beer. We're going to talk to a runner, one of my friends, Bob Fry, who's running in the race. He does it every year. I'm like, Bob, I don't know how your body puts up with
it. My knees and my hip hurt. I just watched these people on mile 2, and I was like, oh, wow, they're already hurting. I know.
God.
I would have loved to have done it. There was a moment maybe 10 years ago when I was running a lot. I thought, I want to do a marathon. But I've never done one.
There's a big difference from 6 miles to 26.2.
But look at how I'm so proud of these people. I don't know any of them, and I'm just proud of them.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy how they do it. My wife is a UW graduate. Every year, the last Saturday in April, they have a run called Crazy Legs. And Crazy Legs played for the football team, and they named it after him.
Oh, that's great.
And it's a 6-mile run. You run through the campus, and the finish line is the 50-yard line at Camp Randall.
Wow.
And as soon as you cross the finish line, they hand you a beer and you hang out in the stadium and drink.
How fun. You do that just because you get to end up with the beer in the stadium.
We used to do it every year. And so I was able to do 6 miles.
Oh, that's good.
And then I got older.
Out of all your siblings, has anyone done the marathon?
No.
I can't believe that.
No.
I can't believe the McMurrays don't run in a pack and just do the 26 together.
My neighbor, Dawn Levine, does it every single year. That's her thing.
I mean,
and she goes from city to city to do marathons. My body can't hold up. I could barely do a 5K now.
For me, I would just like, after a couple hours, I'm like, I want to go make dinner or something else or go shopping. I have something else. I'd get bored. I have something to do.
Does anybody do 5Ks, 3 miles?
Yeah, you know, we do the turkey trot, and everyone's shaking their head. We do the turkey trot in Buffalo.
That's 3 miles.
It's 5 miles.
Are you sure?
In Buffalo, New York, Thanksgiving morning, I go with Kurt's family, and it's 5 miles.
Sure it's not a 5K?
I don't know. It's 5 miles.
Are you sure?
I'm 100% positive, because I know.
And you can do it.
I can do it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Thanks. I'm going to do it in a couple of weeks.
God, you better train for that.
But that's it. That's all I got.
All right, let's take a break. I feel like we just got here. We're already.
I feel like I just ran a marathon.
I just need to relax.
I'm glad
for a
you made it, Pete.
I just walked in. McMurray, Jane Manzouris in for Dean Richards at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, 922, Sunday morning. I love this.
I love Maroon 5.
Pete McMurray, Jane Manzouris in for Dean Richards on the phone with us, another Bradley graduate. It's Andy Mazur, and the three of us were texting during the game last night.
Hey, Andy.
Talking about how we played Little League. I mentioned the fact because we all went to Bradley in Peoria, and I brought up the fact that I was on Agatucci's Pizza in fourth grade. I was a Little League All-Star, but I got benched towards the end of the season in fourth because we went on vacation to Wisconsin and the coach benched me when I came back.
Priorities.
Right. I was trying to compare myself to Anthony Rizzo.
And then I chimed in and said I was the catcher for the Broncos in fourth grade until I got hit in the head with a bat, and then I quit.
That's not funny.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
no,
I remember
the
umpire kept saying, here, move up, honey, move up, sweetheart, go ahead, move up. I'm like, no, I'm so close. I mean, I didn't like it anyway, but
right.
It was like all my friends were playing. So I moved up, and this girl hit me in the head, and I went flying over. The next day, I'm like, not going back, Dad, sorry.
Andy, what was yours?
Yeah, 12-year-old All-Star, Gus Wilkins Landscaping Crew.
Sure. Sure.
That was our sponsor, of course.
Yeah.
Right. First baseman. They compared me to, you know, every great defensive first baseman ever.
So, of course they did.
Yeah, I don't want to brag or anything. But,
right, of course.
Back in the day, of course, Glory. I think we should be hearing some Bruce Springsteen here in the background right now.
Glory days.
Glory days. And both of you guys then went professional, right? You played at Bradley.
I retired.
Your baseball career.
My baseball career was over.
I did play at Bradley. Yes, I did. I played a lot at Bradley.
Not baseball.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not baseball.
Let's talk Cubs. When Rizzo hit that home run, I'm like, this is done, man. Lester, when he got out of the fifth, I mean, everything was coming together, and then the bullpen falls apart.
Yeah, I don't know if it was falling apart. I mean, it was one bad pitch. I mean, if you think about it, and, you know, there was a lot of talk about, oh, why is Edwards facing Bryce Harper? You know, Harper has struggled since he came back from the DL, from the knee injury toward the end of the year. And if you really look at it, if you're one of those kind of baseball geeks and you look at the inside numbers, and you look at what a guy is against left-handed batters, and not only what his batting average is, but what the slugging percentage is against him, and all the numbers say that was still a good matchup. I mean, obviously, you have to go with you know, the information that you have. And there's no guarantee that Mike Montgomery is going to come in and get Harper out. There's no guarantee that Brian Dunsing is going to come in and get Harper out. So, I mean, you have to kind of go with the guys that you bring in. And, you know, the day before,
he was lights
Edwards
out.
Was great.
Yeah.
He was fantastic.
Montgomery.
So, I mean, he hung a curveball. He hung a curveball. And a good hitter is going to hit the ball like Bryce Harper did. And it's going to hit a good country mile. And that's what happened. So, you know, the one that bothered me was the Zimmerman home run.
Oh.
And
again, it
looked
like a pop-up. Well, it looked like a pop-up to left field, and the ball just kept going. The ball was carrying pretty good out there yesterday. So, and people on Twitter just crushing Ben Zobrist for not leaping at the wall to make the catch. Well, I got news for you. When you go back like he did on that ball, you're drifting back. It's not like you're running back with full momentum because you know the ball is going to be over your head. This took him all the way to the wall. When you get to the wall like that, the best leaper in the game is not going to be able to get up over a 9-foot wall and make that catch.
Well, that looks like a tall wall. That was the question in our house. Why didn't he jump? He was like a foot away from it.
Well, and I think it was hard to judge because of that wind, because look at the home runs yesterday.
Yes, I think he thought he was about to grab it.
Right.
Dan, and Wilson Contreras' home run, too. I mean, in all fairness, was not hit all that well. He didn't think he got it all. And you look at the replay, he kind of hit that near the bat handle, and it went out. So,
and he threw up his bat like, it's a can of corn.
Yeah.
And it was a home run.
So, I mean, if you understand, you know, physics, and I guess I'm not going to give you a physics lesson because I never took physics, Bradley. but you go back to the wall, and there's no room for you to get any momentum to jump because you're tracking the ball back. You're backpedaling. You're not turning and running because you don't think the ball's over your head.
Yeah. I know, man. Carl Edwards Jr.
I was just going to say, can we talk about Carl Edwards Jr.?
Because he's so skinny. And if you've seen him in real life, he looks even skinnier.
Every time he comes up to be the pitcher, I think, oh, no. Even last year would make me nervous. I'm all of a sudden, I got my worry beads out.
He was lights out in game one.
He went right through. He went right through the lineup. And, again, this is a guy that was a 48th round draft choice, and the Cubs acquired him in a deal with Texas. And, you know, they wanted to be the closer next year. And the guy's got great stuff. I mean, he's can throw as high as 98 miles an hour. And when the curveball is right, it's a devastating pitch. That was just a hanging curveball.
Right. And remember, we got the first game.
Strasburg was amazing. That was a tough game.
This is how the playoffs. This is baseball playoffs, right? Right, Andy?
Correct. Split. You look for the split, and it's the kind of thing where it's a little harder to take because, you know, you figure you have game two in hand, and you figure you're going home up 2-0, and you may not have to pitch Jake Arrieta. You can probably save him for another series if you advance. So, you know, it obviously complicated things a little bit, but you have to understand. I mean, the Nationals won their division for a reason.
Right.
They have a talented team. I did like some of the things I heard coming out of the clubhouse after the game, especially from the leadership core and especially Anthony Rizzo, who said, listen, you know, we gave up a home run to Rajay Davis in the eighth inning of the game seven of the World Series and found a way to come back and win.
He's right.
You're not going to break us here. So it's the kind of thing where they have to go home now and play some good baseball. It's going to be a crazy sports day in Chicago tomorrow. And that's the appetizer, and then, of course, the main course on Monday Night Football. And, of course, the Blackhawks as well. So it's a crazy sports day tomorrow.
Anybody nervous about Trubisky starting for the Bears? Is he going to get protection?
Not at all. You know what? It doesn't really even matter. Results on the scoreboard, to me, don't matter. I want to see some development. I want to see some improvement in this kid from week five all the way to week 17, because that's what you're looking for here. I mean, you know, developing relationships and rapport with, you know, a less than stellar receiving core. You got a couple of decent tight ends you can work with. You've got two very talented
running backs. We don't have any good tight ends. Josh Bellamy can't catch the ball when it's thrown to his hands. It drives me crazy.
Yeah.
He's terrible.
Again, these are guys that were not really counted on to.
I know. They shouldn't be starting.
Number one to number twos. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Cam Meredith gets hurt, and Kevin White, who can't stay healthy at all, ever.
He's done, isn't he? Kevin White's done.
I would think. But, you know, that's what I want to see. I want to see a command of the offense. I want to see some leadership. I want to see that never say die attitude that we keep hearing about with this kid. And he's going to need to be mobile because there's going to be a lot of pressure on him. I have a feeling that there's obviously a very talented defense on the Vikings side, and they're going to pin their ears back and they're going to come after him. So
prediction for Monday night?
I don't think they win, but I think he shows pretty well.
Okay, how about the Cubs? Yeah. Do we win at home?
I think the Cubs win at home. Quintana has been very good of late.
Yep.
So Scherzer, you don't know what's going on. He's got that hamstring issue as well.
Yep.
I'm not surprised that Dusty is using him. I asked the question last night. You know, if you get that game at home and you're even 1-1 as opposed to down 0-2, should Scherzer pitch game three? And you know, I guess the pat answer to that is you can't guarantee yourself a meaningful game four if you don't win game three. So it'll be interesting to see how Scherzer and the hamstring react on Monday.
Anybody ever throw out a hamstring or blow a hamstring? I've blown a hamstring.
I've never done it.
And the thing is, when you blow a hamstring, first of all, it's like a gunshot. It's like getting shot in the leg or stabbed in the leg. It hurts so bad. Yeah. But when you come back, you're always thinking to yourself, oh, my God, I got to be careful because I don't want to blow my hamstring again. So that's going to be in the back of his mind.
Because you're waiting for it to hurt again. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and for pitchers especially, I mean, I don't know if you remember back when Rick Sutcliffe blew out his running down the base paths, I believe it was in New York. If the Cubs won the division in 1984, it was the next season.
Right.
And he actually started to hurt his arm a little bit because when you have a leg injury as a pitcher, you tend to change your stride, you tend to change your mechanics and those kind of things. And it ends up hurting other things other than your arm. So when you hear about a hamstring or a leg injury for a pitcher and a guy going on a DL and you're thinking, oh, man, it's just a calf injury. Well, you know, those calf injuries can lead to shoulder injuries because of the way that they compensate for it. So
right.
it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out tomorrow. And then, you know, if in fact Jake Arrieta starts game four for the Cubs, which I'm still not totally convinced of.
I agree with you.
He's on the roster for a reason. And that might be the reason. So let's just kind of see how it all goes.
One day at a time. Andy Mazur, you're the best, man.
Thanks, Andy.
See you guys.
All right. See you, man. All right. Quick break.
Exciting, though. Sports on Monday.
I know. I mean, tomorrow is going to be off the charts in Chicago.
It'll be fun to watch Trubisky, whatever happens.
Right.
He's an exciting player.
He got everything.
Yeah.
It's 9:31. It's 7:20 WGN.
Tomorrow night, the season kicks in for real as the Blackhawks make their first road trip. Hawks, Maple Leafs in Toronto. The early pregame with Chris Bowden at 5:30, puck drop at 6 on 7:20.
Chicago!
WGN.
Currently, there is no cure for Alzheimer's disease. Researchers at Rush University Medical Center, led by Dr. Martha Claire Morris, are conducting the MIND trial to prevent Alzheimer's, a study comparing two weight loss diets and their effects on brain health and cognitive decline. The study uses lifestyle and behavioral changes for weight loss and healthier living. Qualified participants must be between the ages of 65 and 84, be overweight, and have a family history of dementia or Alzheimer's disease. Participants will receive dietary counseling and motivational support from registered dietitians and will be compensated for completing the 3-year study. To learn more and to see if you or a loved one qualify, call the Office of the MIND Trial to Prevent Alzheimer's at Rush at 708-660-6463. That's 708-660-6463. Or visit rush.edu/mindtrial.
Since 1955, Blaine's Farm and Fleet has earned the trust of farmers and Midwest families by offering great brands at honest prices. Everything we sell is carefully chosen to ensure you're getting top quality with every brand you buy. Like KT Auto Darkening Welding Helmets, regularly $99.99, now $69.99. Pick up a Stiletto Titanium Framing Hammer. It's lightweight and has a magnetic nail starter. It's $69.99. And shop the way you want to shop. Blaine's Farm and Fleet now accepts American Express cards. We also have our drive-thru service. It's shopping made simple. It's fast, easy, and convenient. Also at Blaine's Farm and Fleet this week, check out this great doorbuster deal. Pick up a Milwaukee M18 Fuel High Torque Impact Wrench Kit with charger and two batteries. Just $329 after $100 bundle savings when you buy a qualifying accessory. Trust. It's what we were founded on. It's what we try to earn every day. That's genuine value. From Blaine's Farm and Fleet.
Happy Sunday. Remember, it's the marathon. If you're thinking about coming downtown, don't. I had a little bit of a problem this morning getting to work. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Dean Richards. Ah, yes, 7:20 WGN, 9:42. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Dean Richards. With the marathon today, it started off a little chilly, but at the end of the race, it's going to be
74.
Right. They always say if you're doing a 5K, dress for the second mile, not the first.
Right, because you'll heat up pretty quick.
So how do you dress for the marathon today?
I actually think it's a pretty warm day for a marathon. I think you want to keep it in the 60s, maybe even 50s, so that it's because you will be hot. So I don't know how you dress. We've never run a marathon.
Shorts and a tee, right?
Yeah.
Anybody? I don't know.
Nobody.
Okay.
I mean, so think about it when you're out running just your 2 miles or your 3 miles, when you come home and go, oh, that hurt. After the first, if you're wearing a longer sleeve shirt, you're thinking, why am I wearing this shirt? I'm so hot.
I am in constant pain. I am that guy. Remember you used to see those commercials growing up? Oh, chronic pain. I'm like, who has chronic pain? Every day I wake up,
you.
I have back pain.
I don't believe you.
I do. I have back pain every day.
Are you stretching out?
No. I need to stretch.
I'm going to buy you a book on stretching.
I won't read the book. You got to get me a 2-minute or less video. Find something on YouTube and I'll do it. Seriously.
You just need to touch your toes, because I think part of
I do that. I do. I do stretch. I do stretch during the week, or if I'm taking a class, I'll stretch for 2 minutes before and 2 minutes after.
Do you stretch when you're just watching some of the sports games that you're watching?
No, never.
Why not?
Because I don't think of that.
Just get some sort of like a sheet or a towel, and then just lay on the ground and stretch your legs.
I'll do that while you're watching the TV. I'll do that at the gym. That's
Why
not
stretch
happening.
With Charlie?
It just doesn't happen at home.
I know, but maybe make it happen, and then you won't be in so much pain.
And you know the McMurrays. We have notoriously tight hamstrings.
Yes. All of them?
The worst. Really? Everybody in the
even
family.
The girls?
I even see it with my son Charlie. He's 12, and I'm like, oh, God. He's got the McMurray hammies. Poor kid.
Aww.
He's not going to be able to dunk. It's going to be rough.
Started stretching early.
Do you stretch every day?
I do stretch every day, but I'll tell you this. I was taking a lot of fitness classes and not stretching what I should have been doing. And so I've hurt and injured my hamstring. And so when I'm running in our shred class, I'll all of a sudden feel the hammy. So I've lately been stretching while watching the sporting events I've been watching on TV with the towel and trying to pull out my ham.
God, it just catches up with you. I know.
Yeah.
I just don't think about it when I'm at my house. At the gym? Sure.
Of course.
Right.
I know, but you just think about, you take the 10 minutes. We talk about it all the time. You stretch your back, you stretch your legs. Just do it 10 minutes and like before or after dinner.
Got to stretch my back.
Add the extra stretching in. I think it'll make all of us feel a lot better. Mel Brooks stretches every morning. He's 90-something years old.
What?
Yeah. He says, I get up every morning and this is the stretch I do. I saw it on 60 Minutes.
Okay, I was going to say, how do you know that?
You know that?
He's a personal friend.
Mel Brooks stretches every morning, and he sends me a text right afterwards.
I know. I was living out in Chicago, so anybody that's stretching will always send me a text. Hey, Jane, I stretched.
Guys don't stretch. Sam, do you stretch?
Never.
Never.
You never stretch.
I should.
See?
Right. We all should.
Well, this is your public service announcement right now. Let's all stretch together.
Here's the deal. You need to stretch,
yes.
Especially if you're a dude and you're older. If you're over 40 and you're a guy, you need to stretch. And I made a New Year's resolution last year to take yoga.
Yeah.
And I took two classes. Actually, I took three right after January. And it's just so slow and boring.
I know. You need that
extra.
That
can be condensed down to 15 minutes.
I took 2 weeks straight of yoga because I hurt my hip. And I thought, well, I'm not going to do all this activity and this running that I do, so I'm going to do yoga. And I agree with you. I need to run and jump and skip and hop and all that good stuff that we do. So I think yoga is a great fill-in. You should do that along with all the other workouts that you're doing.
It's time management.
And also, here's the thing. I know it hurts you to stretch, Pete. I know, Sam.
Well, of course.
You don't want to stretch. It hurts. So I get it. But it hurts me too sometimes. You just do a little bit and then don't overstretch, but start somewhere.
Sam, do you go to the gym?
I haven't been in the gym since Bush was in the White House.
Oh, man.
The first one or the second? Well, the first one, you probably weren't even born.
I need you to do some push-ups right now.
I probably could rep out some. I don't know. I don't go. I like to play basketball, but I don't like lift weights. I've never been a gym person.
Huh.
That's fine. Listen, you're getting some activity with your basketball playing, so that's fine.
Yeah, well, he's moving the body, but you got to do some weights. You want muscle tone, right?
Yeah, the weights are nice.
I guess. I don't.
It's going to catch up.
To
you got
Sam
time.
Or to you?
To Sam.
Well, when it does, then I'll start lifting.
I do weights twice a week, but you got to get your body ready for it.
I will still throw you around.
Come on, Sam.
Pete.
Please.
How much can you bench, Pete?
Well, I don't max out anymore, but.
Oh, anymore?
I do dumbbells twice a week, of course.
You lift weights. Those 5-pounders?
I do weights on Mondays and Fridays.
Do you? Mondays and Fridays?
I just started taking a class. I love taking classes. First of all, number one, Sam, if you're a single guy and you're not taking classes, you need to change your mindset because it's all beautiful women in these classes.
Not a single guy, not going to take classes either.
Classes are great. Guys they don't know how difficult classes are.
And I take this class on Saturday mornings. It's called Formula 94, where they turn the temperature up to 94 degrees.
It's like hot yoga, right?
No. You have dumbbells in your hand, yeah. And it's like you're boxing with dumbbells in your hand. And you're working your core and your shoulders.
In a sauna, pretty much.
Well, you're sweating, and everybody, the room smells like feet.
Yeah, and whatever else you ate last night. That 94 temperature, it makes me angry. Like, it makes
but
me crabby.
I weighed myself this week because I knew we were going to be on the air today to see how much weight I lost. I lost 4 pounds. I weighed 178, and I weighed myself after the class. I weighed 174.
Pete,
that is not
a
joke.
Guys just all of a sudden you guys lose 10 pounds. Like, oh, I lost 4 pounds this week.
in one class, sweating.
No.
4 pounds.
Although I do agree, it's a good class. If you can stand the heat, I say do it.
I can barely do it, but I always put myself near some beautiful women because I look to them for instruction, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Sure.
Think about it, Sam. Think about it.
No, he's shaking his head.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Dean Richards, who's on a cruise. So we'll be in this week and next week.
That's right.
This is a fun crew.
It's a great crew.
I mean, I listen on Sundays when I can, and I hear Sam and Schwani and Tom Hush, and this is nice.
And
this
now here
good.
We are.
Yes, and we're here. 312-981-7200 is our phone number if you'd like to chime in, or you can send us text messages. Pete, 847 area code. That was water weight that you lost. It will return. Sorry. Oh, it already came back. I know it was water weight. Yeah, absolutely. Saturday Night Live, I think in the last year has been very, very topical. They've been on everything. Every week we look to SNL to see what they're going to be talking about. And this week they nailed it.
They sure did.
I have it on DVR. I was watching sports last night. I was watching Michigan State, and I passed out, and I completely forgot all about it. And then you read about it this morning, and you watch the beginning
of it. Well, and so Jason Aldean was their musical performer.
Who was performing in Las Vegas at the time.
Route 91 Harvest Music Festival, where the tragedy happened, and he addressed it. He talked about what happened, and I think everybody wanted him to talk about what happened, and you know, what a better place to do it than Saturday Night Live. So he talked about what he did all week and how it affected him. And then he played I Won't Back Down by Tom Petty.
Can we hear that audio?
I'm Jason Aldean. This week, we witnessed one of the worst tragedies in American history. Like everyone, I'm struggling to understand what happened that night and how to pick up the pieces and start to heal. So many people are hurting. There are children, parents, brothers, sisters, friends. They're all part of our family. So I want to say to them, we hurt for you and we hurt with you. But you can be sure that we're going to walk through these tough times together every step of the way. Because when America is at its best, our bond and our spirit, it's unbreakable.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, if you're not tearing up right now.
Wow.
I know.
I can't wait to see this.
It was just, I mean.
Was he the musical guest last night or they just brought him on?
Yeah. No, he was the musical guest.
And who was the host last night? Do you remember?
I don't remember.
You don't see?
I can't remember.
Not even paying attention.
No.
He opened the show last night. Love SNL or hate SNL. They've been on everything. I know. Alec Baldwin, very polarizing. People think he's funny or people hate him because he's making fun of the president. But yes, SNL has been on it for the last year. Very, very topical.
Gal Gadot was the...
Who?
Gal Gadot was the host.
Who's got gout? What?
that was the host. The host.
That's Wonder Woman? Yeah.
Wonder Woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
They did a skit also, OJ's first date after prison.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you got to see it.
Okay, good. So you'll have to rewind. I watched the Jason Aldean because I knew it was on.
God, is that
And I was so
just,
interested in hearing what he had to say.
Wow, that's impressive. I mean, it's been a rough week for me.
Well, I think for a lot of people, because you think about the enormity of that, and then you think about how it could have impacted us, and it impacted our friends and family, and we all know somebody who was there, too.
I go to Vegas once or twice a year. The last 4 times I stayed at Mandalay Bay, I know exactly where those people were. I know exactly the sight line, and you just think about it. And I know people listening right now, they've been to Vegas, and they know how big those hotels are. It's just... We all have that visual.
Well, it's shattering.
And we've all been to a concert, so we know it's like, oh, my God. So how is this going to change us? You know? You think about the security. Well, I think Chicago is on it, especially today with the Chicago Marathon.
I think Chicago
But you
got
to live your life. You just have to be aware, but you have to live your life.
And probably so many people went to that show thinking, I hope we're safe. We hear of things happening like this.
Right.
And not knowing that this was about to happen to them. You know, when you go somewhere busy, you're like, well, I hope we're okay today. You always have that one little glimmer in your head. You're thinking, I hope we're fine. Unfortunately,
God, that was great that he did that last night.
It was because you have to think, like, he was on stage. You know, he must have heard something, or he didn't know. But people came to your show to enjoy you.
Yeah.
So at some level, and even though he's not responsible, you feel like they were there to see me.
Right.
And I put them there.
Yeah. Wow, that's good stuff.
That's a lot of healing for him too.
And Into a Petty Song.
Into a Petty Song.
Tom Petty, boy, that affected
single,
me
too. That's the first single he ever came out with. Won't Back Down.
Wow.
Yep.
As a solo artist, you're talking about Tom Petty?
That's his first solo album, and that was the first. Well, the first album was Full Moon Fever, but that was the first.
I know
single.
You probably weren't born yet, but I remember when that album came out.
I love Petty, though. It doesn't matter.
I was working rock radio in Peoria at the time. I think it was at Bradley, right? That was 1988. Is that right?
That came out in April 89.
89. Yeah, wow. I was at Bradley on the radio in college.
I was still in high school. We interviewed Petty.
I was a month old.
All right. It's like he still needs to stretch.
Right.
Petty came into town. He was playing at Northerly Island. I was working at The Loop. Not with you, Pete. I'm sorry. This was Zach. And we were interviewing Petty. And so we're going through this whole interview with him. And all of a sudden he goes, "Hey, man, I can't hear a word you're saying. I got my earplugs in."
Petty didn't care about anything.
At all.
He just wanted to play his music.
Full interview, and he's like, "Sorry, man, I can't hear anything you're saying."
He just wanted to write music and play music. That was it. All right. It's 720 WGN. I love our next guest.
You do love our next guest.
She is one of the nation's top fitness experts. She is a teacher, a trainer, and a mother, and she couldn't look any better today on her birthday. It's Andrea Metcalf. Thank you for coming in.
Birthday. Oh, thanks, guys. What a treat to be here.
I probably haven't seen you in, 6 months, a year? It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been.
You look fantastic. What's going on with you?
Well, I think it's because it's my birthday. You know, you always look better on your birthday. But thanks, Pete. It's exciting. I've got a new gym opening in the next 60 days. It's huge. It's a fitness food court called Studios Views, and probably didn't know.
Where is that?
It's at 2215 North Halstead, where the old Flirty Girl was.
Oh.
It's good for you.
Big space. Great.
So we're going to have a party, and you guys are going to come. We're going to drink lots of champagne.
Can we work out at the same time?
Yeah. Not on the party.
You have to do a plank while you're drinking the champagne.
We like to run on the treadmill or whatever, or do jumping jacks.
On one leg.
Yeah. Fine, that's fine.
That's it.
We're gonna talk fitness, and we're going to talk rehabbing after the marathon. But I want to ask you, were you always a fitness person? You were probably a cheerleader growing up. What were you like?
Yeah, you know what? It's scary to say, but in 1983, I taught my first fitness class, and that was when the thong was on the outside. Everyone had Hanaband. Reebok was the only gym shoe. Leg warmers, everything. And I got paid $8 for an hour of teaching
and
class.
You were excited about
it. I was
money.
So excited.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So I've been doing it for a long, long time.
Good for you. Wow. I mean, that was Jane Fonda, right? Back
that
in the early 80s?
That was before Jane Fonda.
Was?
She was 89, 92, because I interviewed her a few years back, and it was pretty fun. But that was really the birth of Jazzercise.
Yes, I was going to say, what was the class you were teaching? Was it Jazzercise?
It was called Jazzercise and then Freestyle Aerobics. And it was, "It's raining, man."
Yeah.
And
those
were the songs.
I used to do that at the Women's Workout World.
Of course, I taught at Women's Workout World.
And everyone wore the pants on the outside of their tights.
Yes, exactly.
Gross. I can't believe we did that.
I missed the leg warmers. Whatever happened to those?
They're back in.
They're back.
But
they're
not for working out.
No, they're
just
for fashion. Yeah. And then you wear them on your hands now, too, for fashion. It's, you know, they're being recycled to bring product.
I feel like, well, maybe because I'm involved in classes now, but I feel like everybody is doing classes, group fitness right now.
I hope so, because we've got 4 gyms in one that are all different group fitness formats. So group fitness is really big. I mean, 52% of millennials are going to classes rather than the traditional old gym.
Okay.
And trying to bank on that, we're doing a collaborative fitness space. So.
Really cool, because now that you see all the collaborative like think tanks and like office spaces, and for you to do a collaborative workout, and everyone's like so into buying their boutique memberships, like I'm going to this place for spin, I'm going to this place for high intensity training, I'm going to this place for yoga. It's going to be all right there under the same roof, right?
Yeah, we've got yoga space, which is meditation and chill, Hang 5 Fitness, which is bar and surfboard classes, Sproing Fitness, which is the anti-treadmill.
Love
and then, of course,
Sproing.
Yeah, they're coming back. And Kick at 55 or Kick-Ass Fitness that's in the Gold Coast is opening up their second location, too.
That's like kickboxing?
It's they're doing high-intensity interval training. They've got spin bikes, ropes to climb up.
Everything.
It's like get your body in shape fast.
I mean, I feel like everybody's taking classes nowadays, which is great. Jane and I take classes together from time to time.
We do, because we
come. We'll give you memberships. You'll just come on over and
well, you motivate each other too.
It turns the heart rate.
Right.
Training and stuff.
You know, a lot of people here at the Tribune and at WGN Radio, they love to work out together because that's that camaraderie. So they work out as a group in a fitness class. But once you start going to the classes, you start realizing and knowing all the people that you share classes with. And then it's sort of a group membership or a group, you know, workout together. And it does motivate you.
Yeah, it's like peer pressure in a good way.
And you know what else? One of the things I love about classes is I think all day. What's Jane going to do now? What am I making for dinner? How do I make this happen? What's the speech going to be about? Blah, 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 blah. Where am I going to be at? I want to work out. I don't want to think about it. I want you to tell me what I'm doing, and then I leave sweaty and happy.
Right.
I'm not thought about anything, and I just got a great workout.
I love that, too.
Thanks.
I'm a self-help book guy, and it's funny. You brought up meditation because the last three books I've read have said the same thing. You need to take some quiet time and meditate. And I've tried. And I try.
You're just not the quiet time kind of person.
But my brain just moves. And you got to give me some pointers. People say, just concentrate on your breathing. Your mind's going to wander. Just bring it back. But basically, it's just sitting there and just relaxing your body for 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Every morning.
We're setting up a space where you put on some headsets and someone's talking you through it. And that sometimes helps, too, because you're listening and going, okay, do I believe in what they're saying? Am I doing what they're saying? And then you're focused, kind of like Jane was saying, that someone's telling you what to do through your meditation. Like Headspace is a really great app. Yeah. And maybe that would be something you should try. Or just, you know, call me. I'll talk to you for a minute to tell you to count your breaths.
Pete, count your breath.
Well, and I tell people, too, if you count your breaths for 1 minute and you have less than 8 breaths, that means your heart rate's coming down below 80 because your heart rate and breath are really tied in together.
Okay.
And if you can't get that in the first minute, then do another minute of counting your breaths. Just tally it down, breathe in, breathe out.
8 breaths in 1 minute?
Yeah. You should really be taking 4 to 5. When you sleep, you're going to be more in the 5, 6, 7.
Well, I'm going to have to count that later on.
Okay, well, that heavy breathing is getting a little creepy here. Sorry. Yeah. For everyone listening.
All right. Andrea Metcalf in studio with us. We're going to talk about marathon recovery. Okay, there's people that are running the marathon today that have been training for months and months and months. What do they do today after the race, and what do they do tomorrow? Because I hear tomorrow is just a bad day for marathon runners.
Well, it can be, but the most important thing is to get that hydration in, and even when you're not thirsty, because that's going to help flush out the muscles. So hydrate, 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 hydrate. I can't say it enough. Even 2 hours post-race, drink another whole bottle of water, because your muscles need to clear that lactic acid. The second thing I'd say is cold shower and get your feet up. Do a yoga pose where you lay on the ground and you lean your feet up against the wall.
Why is that?
Well, we want to get that blood out of the lower limbs. We don't want to have blood pooling. That's what's going to cause more muscle soreness and more
So how long do you do that?
Even if you did it, for 15 minutes, sit down. And that's not right after the race. That's within an hour or two after the race. And don't forget to refuel 200 to 300 calories. Post-race, within 30 minutes, you need to start getting that sugar back into the system so that the muscles can keep working. Muscle glycogen is important to replace.
And they say carb before, but then after it's a protein load. So you're going to want to eat a lot of protein?
No. Not after post-marathon. You got to get those sugars back in. So it's really light protein. And then probably about 4 hours later, you can have that big protein meal.
So way later.
Yeah, the protein is after a 90-minute workout where you're really trying to reset the muscle fibers from injury and repair.
Were you a runner?
All those little tears in the muscles after all that.
Truth be told, I was asked to run the marathon with Bright Pink a few years ago, and I said, are we trying to get more runners or me to finish? They're like, well, both. So I did the half, and I said, I can't. It's a month later. I can't do the full. I'm not a runner. I was all-state high jumper, and I'm fast twitch. So I can run from here to the bridge really well.
Really? You're a sprinter?
Yeah.
I just can't imagine doing 26.2 miles.
I'm a fast twitch, too.
Yeah, so we're just not built for that. That's okay.
That's fine, right?
Yeah.
People always say, come on, you can do it. You're in shape. I'm like, no way.
Yeah.
Well, I'm good.
You probably could do it. It's just the point of how much time do you have to put into it? How much pain is it going to cost you? And are you going to be glad that you did it at the end of the day?
No.
Right, because there's a lot of prep that goes ahead. People start training in the spring.
Well, yeah. June is usually the official kickoff date of the marathon with Fleet Feet and FFC and all the big groups that train people here in Chicago. And I tried it, like I said, and realized the half marathon took me 3 hours. I'm like, okay, the full marathon is going to take me. I'm going to be like, run, fat girl, run. Or it's run a 12-hour marathon.
They say, and let me ask you this, so not immediately following the marathon, but the next day. Is it important to get moving, like a light jog or a brisk walk, or should you just chill out?
No, you're right. Within 24 hours, you need to start moving around that body. 24 hours is kind of a good time to start maybe getting a massage, power plate vibration training, acupuncture, foam rolling, all of those things. After one full day. And remember, this is for every mile that you run, you need like a day recovery. So 26 days of non-high intensity exercise. You get a whole month off after doing a marathon.
You're kidding.
But light exercise.
Light exercise, like cross training, some yoga, some great meditation would be good, stretch foam rolling, myofascial release, those kind of things. 26 days of no high intensity running.
So you get a month off.
Yeah.
What about the marathoners that do 50 marathons in 50 days?
Like we're talking like pro athletes, Olympians.
We're talking normal people here. Yeah. Take a month off.
Yeah.
Andrea Metcalf in studio. You can go to her website, andreametcalf.com. All the information's right there. When we come back, we're going to talk about stretching, which Jane and I were talking about earlier. Sam has never done it in his entire life. And we're going to talk about jump-starting people's workouts.
Love it.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Andrea Metcalf in studio. She is a fitness expert. You have a professional women's conference coming up, and you're the only person I know that's more fit than Jane. And I love the fact that Jane is helping you with this.
She is. You know, the Women's Dream Conference is the fourth year, and it's a way for women to be inspired to change their life, change their career, change their health. And we touch on all of those things. And, of course, Jane's going to be telling us her story.
My story. And the Tina Talk.
And the Tina Talk.
So tell us what the Tina Talks are, because there's a lot of different things happening on Thursday.
There are. Well, this is Teach, Inspire, Nourish, and Advise. And we used to do just a panel format, and everyone would get to ask questions. Now we're going to give each one of those speakers a chance to really get to the heart of, you know, who they are, where they've become, and how they can help inspire somebody else or teach someone else. And so I'm so excited. We've got a dozen speakers. I mean, there's so many to mention. You know, Audrey Grabesic is coming in from Denver. Violet Alea from Femme City is coming in from Canada. I mean, we've got just crazy, amazing, amazing people.
But it's across the board. So it's not only fitness people. It's women that are entrepreneurs and successful in their own careers. So it's not just fitness.
Yeah. Dori Blessoff is a professor at Northwestern. She has a tech startup, and she's in her 60s. So think about that. A female tech startup company, Keikura.
Good for her.
Is going to come and talk to us about what she's seen over the last 40 years as a female in business. And just really exciting.
Wow.
And where is it, and how can people get involved?
So we're on eventbrite.com, or you can go to womensdreamconference.com. And it's this Thursday, October 12th, noon at 850 North Lakeshore Drive. It's right at Chestnut and Lakeshore Drive. It's in the ballroom. It's going to be amazing.
And anybody can come.
Anyone can come. We'd love to see you out there. Again, it's on eventbrite.com, Inspire Summit.
I love it. I'm going to get inspired.
I'm telling you, this is going to be my fourth year, and I cry at least once during that day. I cry a lot, but because of the stories that come back, and we always have somebody who's been to the conference the year before to come and talk. Donna Marie Post at Ironmeyer, you founder, she's coming back to talk about how it changed her and what she's done in the last year, and we've done that every year. It's really cool to see where people take these leaps out of their comfort zone and really make changes. You've got to be passionate, right? You do what you love, you get paid for it then, because you're really good at it, because you love it.
And the balance for working mothers is so hard. Well, you know. I mean, you have, what, three kids?
I have three kids. I have my son's 28. He's in his third year of med school in Chicago. My daughter works for OMED Conference Meeting Planner. She's 26, and Charlie's 24. He works for Southern Wine and Spirits.
I hope you brought in some product.
Especially on your birthday.
Yeah.
But it's so much harder for women because the body changes as you get older. And I'm just saying, it's, you know, it's hard. It is. I've seen it.
You know, so I told you guys how old I was, and I'm definitely on the further side of 40. It really does change. And I was writing a book to follow up to Naked Fitness, and it was How to Look, Live, and Feel 10 Years Younger. And I got stuck on the menopause chapter because there's just so much conflicting information out there. And even though I'm in fitness and health and I try and really a real healthy lifestyle, I've still put on that 10 pounds and I still struggle with it. And body image, you know, we all are looking at ourselves. You say I look fabulous. I wake up this morning, I'm like, oh, look at my body.
And we all hate ourselves.
It's hard. But yeah. It's that, I mean, I am mid-40s, and all of a sudden, the working out isn't exactly what it used to be 10 years ago. And I'm like, what happened?
Right. You know, I can't box jump anymore. I don't want to get up on a box. The only thing I want to do is on gloves and box somebody.
Yeah.
But working out changes as we age. We have to accept it, be happy with it, and try and feel good in any moments that we can. And if you start the day with a positive mantra, you'll get through it. And I feel great. I do.
Well, I feel like you have to reinvent yourself if you want to exercise as you get older. I mean, if you were a runner, you get older because your body's going to fall apart. So you have to start taking different types of classes,
right,
or get a personal trainer or watch some videos and try that.
Right. Well, I think
it's
about 360 balance. So if you're always moving in the forward direction, that means that the backside's going to become really weak. So you got to do stuff in the back direction or the side direction because the body's about balance. Aging is a process of dropping in forward and contracting. Remember, all those muscles become smaller because they're so strong.
Yeah.
We got to focus on the backside, your butt, your glutes, your upper back, your shoulders, and your posture, and do that at any point during the day, whether you're sitting here talking on the radio or in your car. Look at you guys all set up.
Right, we all set up straight, didn't we?
But it's really important because that's what the aging process is. It's the over-strengthening of muscles and forgetting about the ones that you aren't seeing.
You just made that sound so simple. For years and years, I've been stand up straight. Let's do some back work. Let's work on that. Richard Dent one time came up to me at the gym and said, now you got to turn around and walk backwards. I'm like, why? He goes, you just spent 45 minutes running forward. And I'm like, oh, you don't know. But guess what? He was right.
It's true.
He was a Super Bowl MVP. I think he knows something.
Well, I mean, I was like, what? I'm not turning around walking backwards. And now I understand because you just made it so simple. As we get older, everything's moving and contracting forward. And that's why we get hunched over. So if we really focus on that.
Rotate the tires. Change them around.
Right. I mean, Jane and I love talking fitness because we want to help people. What advice would you give for people that haven't worked out in a while? Because we always say, just go.
Yeah.
Just go once. Make an appointment and get there once. If you do it once, you'll probably do it twice.
So I give people the 10-minute rule. I say do 10 minutes before or after you eat. And that way you'll get your 30 minutes of incremental exercise in per day. So it's 10 minutes before or after. Wake up 10 minutes before and you'll walk 10 minutes. Eat breakfast. Walk 10 minutes. But walking is really the gateway to feeling good and feeling accomplished.
Move the body.
We hate to go into something and not feel like we know what we're doing because that anxiety then doesn't let our muscles relax to be able to actually fulfill that, you know, that goal.
Jane, what did my brother Ed say to you? Brother Ed is a big guy. He's 6'2", 250.
Yeah, he's a big guy. We love Brother Ed. And he called me around the radio doing a morning show, and this was years ago, and he said, Jane, I can't see my feet. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm bummed out. And I said, Ed, just move. Give me 20 minutes, 3 times a week. Just move. Walk. And then literally 6 months later, Brother Ed called and said, Jane, I've got something to tell you. I said, what? He goes, I started walking with my wife every day after work for 20 minutes. He goes, I lost 30 pounds.
Yeah. That's
30
so cool.
pounds. Just
that's
walking.
Cool. Well, I had a client that I moved in with for 3 months, and our goal was to walk 60 minutes in the morning and 60 minutes at night. And after 3 months, he lost 100 pounds.
Wow.
So it was really powerful, the walking space. Now, remember, we were walking backwards some of that time, too, and sideways, and we were doing some other things besides just walking forward.
Right.
But it's a good start. You got to move it. Got to move your body. Move it or lose it.
Happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you so much.
And where can people get information for the Women's Conference? When is it? Thursday?
Thursday, noon to 4.
Noon to 4, October 12th. Go to womensdreamconference.com or andrewmetcalf.com. I've got links on my site. You guys are so great.
You're the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
God, you couldn't look any better. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Dean Richards, who is on a cruise for the next 2 weeks.
We'll be Marathon Greece.
Yes, we'll be back here on next Sunday, too. On the phone with us is a friend of mine who is actually running the marathon as we speak. It is Bob Fry. Bob!
Pete, how are you, my friend?
So you're in the thick of it right now. You are currently running.
I am. I'm currently walking, but I'm running most of the way.
Okay, how much or what mile marker are you on right now?
I'm almost to the 12-mile marker, Pete.
12 miles.
Did you start in the first wave at 7:30? Or did you start in the second one at 8?
I started in the third.
Oh, wave, the third.
8:35.
Okay.
Yes.
Bob is in the 10-minute mile. Is that right, Bob?
That's pretty much the 10-minute pace. I think I'm pretty well on that for now.
Well,
yeah.
Paint a picture. How many people are around you? Is there how many spectators? Paint a picture for us.
You know, there are thousands of runners, Pete, and a lot of them are running for charities, which is really gratifying. And the spectators are amazing. They're lining the streets. They're yelling, you know, congratulations and urging and encouragement to everybody. You may hear someone in the background.
Right. We can hear them screaming.
Yeah, there's some crazy costumes, Pete. There's a guy running in a Tyrannosaurus Rex costume.
Oh, no.
There's a guy dressed up in a T-Rex costume? How do you run in that for 26 miles?
I'm not sure I could run across the room in that. It's really cumbersome looking.
So, what street are you on right now, Bob?
I'm on, well, just about to cross Grand. I'm traveling south.
So, Bob, are you feeling pretty good?
I'm feeling okay, yeah. Yeah, I have a long way to go, but I'm still feeling okay.
I know, but you still have 14 more miles to go. I mean, do you think about that?
Well, I try not to, Pete. Thanks for bringing me up.
Bob, did you start training for the marathon in the summer?
Yeah, like April, May, somewhere in there.
Wow.
I mean, listen to all the spectators right now. Bob, are you a serious, serious runner? Do you wear the short shorts? Do you, are you focused?
Yeah, I like to keep everything a little more contained than the short shorts allow for, Pete. I've got the Lululemon shorts and compression shorts in one.
Okay, got it. So you.
No, I'm not a short runner.
You keep everything tight. I understand
and
that.
Did you dress for the weather knowing, like, did you dress for 20 degrees warmer than what the forecast is for today?
Yeah, that's it. That's the rule of thumb. Very good.
Do you stop to go to the bathroom?
I hope not.
Okay. He hasn't stopped yet.
Now, Bob, explain something to me. When we were talking, when I was trying to get you on the show, you told me around mile 20 or 21 that they have beer during the race. Is that still true?
I know it's still true. I'm passing a DJ.
Yeah, we can hear it.
Look at that.
I feel like I'm running.
I mean, it's a big party.
It is a big party. You should be out here. Bring the radio people out here.
Wow, listen to that. I feel like I'm in Vegas right now.
I feel like I'm running with Bob.
Man. So Bob is running as we speak, as we talk to him.
Yeah.
Now, is there beer during the race, Bob?
Well, there are people along the way who have beer, and a lot of times they'll reach out and offer one. But there is a 312 beer stop, I think, at mile 20 or 21, something like that.
312
beer stop. Do you want to drink beer when you're running, Bob?
Well, you still have... Miles,
I did that.
Mile 21. Think about that. You're at mile 21. You still have 5.5 more miles to go.
Which is as many miles as I can run.
Right.
Would I have a beer before I start running?
So, Bob, what time do you think you'll finish the race? It's 10:45 right now.
10:45. I should be done somewhere, I think, around 1 o'clock.
1 o'clock. All right. How about if we check in with you around 12:45?
That'll be fine. I'll have the phone out and ready.
Awesome. All right. Good luck, Bob.
Good job, Bob. Hey, keep going.
Can I give a shout-out to my kids and my supporters?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Say hello to whoever you want.
Number one fan, Lisa Buckley, Sarah Fry, my daughter's in town. Adam couldn't make it. Jack and Declan are cruising the streets. I love you all.
I love it. All right, Bob.
Keep up the good work,
we're rooting
Bob.
For you, man.
Keep
we'll
going.
Talk to you in a bit.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks,
talk
buddy.
To you later.
Take care. I love it.
Wow.
Bob Fry running.
Is this his first marathon, do you know?
No, he does it every year.
He does it every year?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's fit. Bob is a fit guy. He just looks like one of those guys that can do a marathon and not train and do a marathon. He does.
He sounded like a guy that could not train and do a marathon. I like his pace, though. He's a 10-minute mile.
Okay. Well, we talked to a runner. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to talk to Courtney Guzman from WGN-TV, who's down there covering it. As a television reporter, it's 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Dean Richards. It is Marathon Sunday, the 40th anniversary of the Chicago Marathon. We just checked in with my buddy Bob Fry, who was running the race. I mean, we felt like we were there.
It was fun. I felt like I was in, because we were going from this very quiet studio environment to mm-hmm. we were right on the road with everybody.
It's one big party.
Yeah. Well,
but you have to last for 26.2
they
miles.
They run right by my house down Taylor Street, and I stand out there and scream. If they're wearing your name, I'm screaming your name.
And
I love it.
please plan accordingly because all the streets are blocked off. And if you're like me and you think you can get around it, it's going to take you some extra time. I got here 1 minute before 9 o'clock.
You left your house an hour and a half prior to.
I did. I left at 7:45.
And you realized that you were about to get lost in the shuffle when we were on the phone driving here. And I said, Pete, how are you going to get to the Tribune Tower?
Lower Wacker Drive.
That's
Lower Wacker
way.
Goes everywhere.
You go underneath the city.
Let's check in from WGN TV. It's Courtney Guzman who is covering the race for WGN TV. Courtney, are you having fun?
Hey guys, good morning. Yeah, it's cool out here. You know, I've covered this race before. I'm actually standing right now in Butler Field. This is where the party area is. This is where all the racers are coming to celebrate and hook up with their families after they've run their 26.2 miles. Pretty much what we're seeing at this point are elite runners. They're finishing somewhere in the realm of about 2 hours, 15, 20 minutes, and there on and so forth. But, yeah, it's been an awesome race. It is getting a little warm out here, and I can say that I've been walking around. I actually got stung by a bee, guys. I'm kind of embarrassed. I had to go to the medical tent and everything.
What? You're kidding, Courtney.
No, it's the first time I've ever been stung by a bee, and I was really mad. You know, I'm just trying to work. I'm sitting in the live truck, and all of a sudden. But anyway, but I did talk to some medical staff in there. They tell me that around noon, that's when they really anticipate seeing a lot of the people that will need some assistance coming in there for help. Right now, we're seeing people kind of, you know, with ankle issues, foot issues, maybe twisting it along the way, and some people just getting winded or, you know, really out of it. But no major medical issues to this point that we've heard of. And everything has been very quiet. You know, the first wave of runners took off around 7:30 this morning, and all was quiet. There's so much security out here. And I can say that because I've covered this before.
Right.
And I can tell you, you know, even as a journalist, I had to be wanded down. It's serious. There are three levels of fences, three layers of fences. There are lots of spotters out here everywhere you turn. They're on elevated platforms so they can see above the crowd see what's going on. We are seeing even the, you know how they bring out the old dump trucks and the snow plows? Yeah. Those are out here adding an extra layer of protection here and just tons and tons of street closures, more than I remember when I covered the marathon a couple of years ago. But so far, so good. Everybody seems like they're enjoying themselves. It's just getting a little warm, and that might be of concern for some of these runners out here trying to finish this race.
But there's some medical tents along the route, right, in case people are sort of far away? Because the people you're seeing now with twisted ankles, I would imagine a lot of them aren't at the finish line yet.
Right. Okay, so shout out to Danny. He's working security out here because he actually gave me a lift to the Balbo tent for my medical attention. But there are multiple tents out here. There's one on Jackson as well. But what they're doing is, you know, if ambulances are necessary, they're picking up the runners along the route wherever they may need to go. They're also having the little carts going around. So, you know, it depends on what the injury is and how severe it is that they'll shuttle you to those medical tents. But I went in there, and I was one of a handful of people at the time. Actually, just got out a few minutes ago, but I'm okay.
You're not allergic to bees?
I'm just curious.
No,
what do they do for a bee sting?
You know, they just gave me some ice. I didn't know. I was really scared because I've never been stung before, so I didn't know what to expect. I was like, am I going to pass out? Can I go home? Do I have to finish working for the day?
That is so funny.
And if you've never been stung, you don't know if you're allergic. So if you are allergic, your arm could blow up or wherever you got stung.
Right. It did swell up some, but I'm okay. So far, so good. I've got some ice. They sent me away with some ice, and that's good to know. It's a lot of people out here volunteering, doctors, nurses, the whole medical team. They're volunteering. And they tell me it's all free because when I went to the medical center, I said, do you need my insurance card? Because I don't have that right now.
Media people. Media people are soft. We're all soft in the media. I mean, think about it. People are running 26 miles and they're throwing out knees, ankles. You go in for a bee sting.
I know. That's what I said. I was so embarrassed. I said, really, I was just sitting in the live truck, you know, going over some notes and preparing myself to finish out the coverage here. And all of a sudden, I felt the pinch. I'm like, what is that? And I looked down, and the bee is, like, sitting in my arm. And I knocked it out.
It's unusual. Unusual to get bitten or stung by a bee in the city. How many people do you think have crossed the finish line? We just saw two walk in front of the windows here on Michigan Avenue at the studio. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, They had medals on and they were wearing race numbers. So I'm imagining they were in the race, but they were just spryly walking happily down the street. Do you think there's been a couple hundred?
I think that is definitely fair to say. This is our first wave of runners that have come in so far. These are the elite runners, and I can tell you these are the sculpted runners that look very lean, very trim, and have been running marathons and have probably qualified to be a part of that first wave of runners, that elite wave. So these are people that know what they're doing. They're experienced. They've run a many marathons in the past. And I would venture to say probably a couple hundred. Some are coming here to party. They've gotten their beer. You know, as soon as they cross the finish line, they get a beer and they get to cool down a little bit. But this is the family reunion area here. This little last mile party area here in Butler Fields is where some people are coming.
Where you get the foil to put around your body to keep you warm. How about costumes,
so here's
Courtney?
Another guy walking down.
How about costumes? Any crazy costumes? Because we talked to our buddy, Bob. He said he saw a T-Rex costume, someone running in it.
Very many costumes, and I think people know, especially these more experienced runners, they know how hot it's going to be this morning and even into the afternoon as the race continues. So there might not be much room for that, and if so, they might be peeling them off along the race.
Okay.
But 29 neighborhoods that they're making it through, over 40,000 runners, and so far so good. I'm waiting for an official word from the media spokespersons for the marathon just to see, what numbers are looking like in terms of medical illnesses officially, and if there have been any incidents along the route. And I'm still waiting for a return call, but as of right now, it's just quiet. I've been monitoring the police department and the marathon's Twitter accounts, and so far, so good.
We like quiet.
Right.
Quiet's good.
Especially after that Lollapalooza, the whole Lollapalooza thing that we heard about earlier in the week.
Right.
Do they know when estimated the last group, the last few people will be coming across the line?
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I was talking to one of my colleagues, Julie Unruh, and she was telling me that, that they also have a section for disabled persons, and including quadriplegics and those who would like to run the race. And she was telling me that there was a gentleman that she's actually profiling. He ran the race a couple years ago, and he didn't cross till sometime around midnight.
Wow.
So, it can go as late as that. But what officially is what the marathon persons are saying, somewhere around 4:30-ish, that's when they expect to start opening up many of these roads again. So hopefully by then, most of these runners will have come and gone by that time.
Courtney Guzman from WGN TV, you're the best. Take care of that bee sting.
Oh, I will. Thanks, guys, so much. Have a good one.
Thanks,
all right,
Courtney.
Take care. She's great.
She's
all right, 7:20 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Dean, who is on a cruise, he'll be back in 2 weeks. We're here this Sunday and next Sunday. Michigan State last night on ABC. Sam, did you mention that?
I did earlier when we were giving college scores. Yes, an upset for the Spartans.
Is Jim Harbaugh a good college coach?
I think he's overrated, honestly. He's 1-4 against Michigan State and Penn State.
Yep. What about Ohio State?
He hasn't beat Ohio State yet.
No. And if you're at Michigan, how long has he been there? 3 years?
This is year three.
3 years. He's got a 5-year span wherever he goes. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens the next 2 years.
Yeah, you got to win the big ones.
Yeah.
And that's something Chris Duffy, Duff, who does our production here, he says you got
to
win the big games. He's
you
a huge Michigan guy. And he says, I don't care what he does against Air Force. I don't care what he does against Western Michigan. You have to beat Ohio State. You have to beat Penn State. And you have to beat Michigan State.
It's like the Bears beating the Packers. That's all we have this season. We're not going to the playoffs. We just want to win the big game. The big boy.
It makes us feel like we won the Super Bowl. I watched Western Michigan beat Buffalo last night.
You did not.
I did.
That game was 71-68, right?
How does that happen?
They went
wild.
In how many overtimes? I read about that.
I think it was 2 overtimes.
7 overtimes.
Wait, 7? Really?
7.
Yeah. Western Michigan beats Buffalo 71-68 in a record-tying 7 overtimes. How does that happen?
I don't know.
There's... I have friends that live right there by Western Michigan, and Kurt's family is from Buffalo.
Right.
So, and his brother lives right there, so it was a big deal in our house.
Jeez, you're the one person that watched that game.
I was going to say, do you have money on it or something?
Probably.
Why would you watch Western Michigan Buffalo?
Well, because we have relations in Buffalo, and then I have relations in Western Michigan.
We have relations.
I'm going to start saying that. I like that.
I have relations in Buffalo.
I have relations
you're
in
so
Tokyo.
Formal.
Well, I don't. Everyone doesn't need all the details, but you know, we have people.
How about
in both
I have
places.
Cousins? I got
I
my
am,
babes.
I am so stealing that, Jane.
I have relations.
You're welcome.
I have relations in Iceland.
Because you don't know who they are. They could be friends. They could be family.
I have relations. Why don't you just say, I have cousins in Buffalo. I have friends in Western Michigan.
Why don't I just say I have like cousins everywhere? Because I'm Greek and that's what happens. I have relations.
Sam, Notre Dame won.
Notre Dame did win, yes. They beat North Carolina.
What are they going to be ranked?
Probably in the top, probably the top 15 now, maybe.
And Michigan will fall. They were number 7.
Yes.
Okay. There was great sports on yesterday. Wow. And
all day, too. It starts at 11 in the morning on Saturdays, and it goes up until like 12:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Guys, there's been great sports on since last Thursday all the way till whatever you said, Sam.
This is a fun time of year.
It is.
Baseball, football, college football, hockey. Oh, my God, that Blackhawks game.
On Thursday.
Last night's game was fantastic.
I know.
Yeah.
So what did they score, 5 last night?
Yeah, 5
Only 5, yeah, only 5.
Only 5.
Patrick Kane wants that MVP trophy again. He does.
He might lose it to Brandon Saad if he keeps that up.
God, Saad, it's so fun to see him. He's got, what, 4 goals in 2 games?
It's back where he belongs, right?
Yeah.
Playing with Taves on the top line.
This is going to be a great season for the Blackhawks. Wow. I got to get some tickets.
I mean, what excites me the most right now is seeing all the runners walk by this window. They're just walking by with their phones. They've got their medals on. They're wearing their numbers from just finishing this marathon. They're just walking down Michigan Avenue like they just did nothing.
Because every street's blocked off. This is the only street that's open downtown.
Well, I'm happy for them.
Again, if you're headed downtown, there's closures everywhere, so be aware of that. You're going to get stuck, like I did. Next thing you know, you're going to have to find Lower Wacker Drive, and that's where you can get everywhere.
Well, I think there's rolling closures now. I think as people start finishing and going past these certain miles, they'll start opening streets. So you might be able to get home, Pete.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Doesn't that happen after noon?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
It's only 11:15.
All right.
It'll start happening.
I can't wait to get home. I have relations waiting at home.
In the biblical sense.
Yes.
Yes. We want to thank Garrett's Popcorn that sent over 2 tins of popcorn. It's the Garrett's Mix. And they are that's pink for Breast Cancer Awareness Month,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're doing a special promotion this month and all month long.
Sam, you got to try some of this. It's off the chart. I don't like...
Be right down.
I don't like the, it's the
he
caramel.
He's coming straight down. I
what,
see him.
What do we have? It's I like the butter popcorn.
Well, you just like the plain old popcorn. So yeah. The Garrett's mix is the cheese popcorn mixed with the caramel corn.
Right.
And you get a cheese and you get a caramel and you put it together.
I don't like to put them together. You got to keep them separated.
No, I put them together.
I got one or the other.
It's the savory and the sweet all mixed together. No, it is like a very the, special treat.
Yeah, I like the butter. It's so good.
Are we going to talk about the promotion now or later?
Go ahead. Bring it up, and then we'll take a quick break.
Okay, so Garrett's Popcorn, in support of the fight against breast cancer, they're doing a buy one, get one. You buy a gallon of the signature pink tin of Garrett's Mix, and you get a second one free to give to somebody impacted by breast cancer. Maybe somebody you know is going through treatment right now. Maybe you know someone who is a survivor. Maybe you want to thank your oncologist and your doctor. So right now, you buy one, and then you give the other one to whoever you want, nurses, family, caregivers, volunteers. Anybody.
That's why they sent over 2. Now I get it.
Now that's why they sent over 2.
Okay.
So one for you, and then you give one to somebody you care about.
What's more Chicago than Garrett's? Seriously.
You know what? So I used to go over to England a lot, and I would bring a Garrett's popcorn because I wanted to bring something so Chicago.
Do you have relations in England?
I have relations in England, and my relations had never had cheese popcorn. And so I would bring Garrett. So every time I went over, they were like, is she going to bring us some popcorn? And they never had the cheese popcorn, but they loved it.
Really?
Yeah. I never even ate one kernel of it because I couldn't get my hand in there.
And do we have one to give away?
We have one to give away. We'll give that. We'll do that later. We're doing a whole, we'll do a breast cancer segment, I think. Should we wait till after that?
Yeah, after
11:30. We'll hit it again. We'll talk about it. Yeah.
Okay, got it. So thanks to Garrett's, their website. GarrettsPopcorn.com, probably.
I would imagine. Garrett's
or you
popcorn.
Google Garrett's. Look at Sam's already down here from the 7th floor.
All right. He said that he got right up and ran down here.
We are in for Dean Richards. Dean is on a cruise. However, since it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
It's Garrett Popcorn. Just one. GarrettPopcorn.com.
GarrettPopcorn.com. Mm-hmm. Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Dean talked to Kathy Bates, who is a 2-time breast cancer survivor. And we'll play that back coming up next on 720 WGN. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Dean Richards. Sam Panionovich is hanging out. Dave Schwann is somewhere working on some news. Before Dean left, he talked to Kathy Bates, who is a 2-time breast cancer survivor. Mm-hmm. Is that how you say it?
Two-time breast cancer survivor, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. 1 in 8 women. We're going to talk about that after 11:30 when the doctor gets here. But Dean, talk to Kathy, and let's play that back right now.
Explain why you're so passionate about this or why this is so important to you.
Well, breast cancer has touched my family in many ways. It runs through the maternal line. My beloved Aunt Lee passed away in 1968, and of course there wasn't much treatment in those days. And then in the 70s, my mother had to have a radical mastectomy, which was horrific. And then a year after I was diagnosed with ovarian back in 2003, my niece, Linda, had breast cancer. So that's why I'm very passionate about it. I got it 5 years ago. I knew for me it wasn't a question of if, it was a question of when. I knew it was going to be in my future. And now the more I've gotten involved with breast cancer and also lymphedema, I developed lymphedema in both arms, but worst in my left arm. And 10 million people in America suffer from it, and that's more than MS, ALS, muscular dystrophy, Parkinson's, and AIDS combined. But nobody's heard of it. So that's my real passion. But when I have the opportunity to talk about breast cancer, then I'm always eager to talk about lymphedema as well.
Even though you have this family history and you said it wasn't a matter of if but when, how would you describe the feeling that you had when, you know, that inevitable doctor's meeting when you get the news, and that, as it's been described to me, that anvil that falls on you as you're getting the information?
Well, oddly enough, I had been giving a speech on being a survivor of ovarian cancer for 9 years, and then literally the day after I got home, I had an MRI because I hadn't been feeling quite right, and I thought maybe the ovarian's come back. And then we had barely made it into the driveway when my oncologist, Barry, called and said, "You have breast cancer." And I paused for a minute, and then I said, "You know what? Make mine a double." Because I'd seen, you know, my family members go through it, and I just decided, why risk it? And I'm really glad I did.
Talk to me a little bit about how you would counsel people who are, you know, think they might be at risk. They go to the doctor, they learn the news. What kind of words might you have for them to make it easier, less difficult is probably more accurate.
Well, you know what? A very dear friend of mine's sister was a pediatric oncologist, Donna DeMichele, Dr. Donna DeMichele, and she's now at the NIH. And I asked her, what is the difference between how children and adults go through breast cancer, not cancer, period? And she said something very interesting to me. She said, children don't define themselves by the disease. They live their lives, they go moment to moment, and adults tend to define themselves and say, I am cancer, instead of I have cancer. And I think most specifically, people should realize that there is so much help out there now. There's so much research being done. I know for myself, I had ovarian, they had CA125, which was a tumor marker test for ovarian. Now they've got one for breast cancer, which I've availed myself of because I've only been a survivor for 5 years, and I want to keep an eye on that. So I think, and it's hard to do when you're going through the actual pain of surgery, the pain of recovery, but if you can stay off the computer at 3 o'clock in the morning and try not to keep self-diagnosing what may happen or may not happen, if you can stay in the moment, and if you can realize that, at least for me, and that's what I want to share today in the luncheon, is that in a way having cancer has been the best thing that's ever happened to me, because I can do something valuable in the real world. You know, I've made my name pretending to be other people 90% of my time. So it's also because of my Aunt Lee, who did not have those years, and now I do have those years. And I also, when I got my star on the Walk of Fame, one of my nieces found this wonderful picture of my Aunt Lee and myself when I was 8 years old in front of Grauman's Chinese Theater. And so when we did the invitations, we put that photograph, and because my star is like 20 feet from that.
funny that you should say to stay off the internet. I had thyroid cancer 10 years ago, actually 10 years ago this month, now that I think of it.
Good for you.
My doctor ordered me to stop going on the internet.
Yeah.
I had watched a surgery on the internet, and then I was self-diagnosing myself.
I know. It's
just as you say, it's crazy.
It's crazy. And you know what the best thing to do is that I found is that, especially if you're going through chemo or radiation or something like that, if you when you go home and you're in bed and you're lying there at night, instead of getting on the computer, if you can visualize your body and what's happening in your body. Also, my niece Linda, she knows I'm like an old hippie from way back, and she happened, the chemo that I was on was based from the yew tree, and she looked up the yew tree, and the yew tree symbolizes rebirth. So that really, you know, that was a bit of a, you know, it was great, that's a great way to think about it, that you're being reborn in a different form.
Yeah. In my years of doing this breast cancer show, I guess sort of going back to your family history of how they treated cancer, I'm a little bit hopeful. I mean, it's still awful when you get the news. It's still very traumatic. But more people are winning the fight now than ever before. And there are new things all the time. So in that sense, it is hopeful, isn't it, that luncheons like this help and research that's being done now as a result of the money that's raised from a luncheon like this are all positive things, right?
Absolutely, and I don't know enough about Lindsay's cancer research, but my hope always is that these different disparate organizations will come together and collaborate with their research instead of, and I can't fault Lindsay's because I don't know if this is something that they're aware of, but so many times organizations want to be the first, you know, and they don't collaborate, they don't want to, and I feel that with cancer, the more we can collaborate and share ideas, the more important it is, the further we'll get, the quicker we'll get it, and I think this is key.
Yeah. Can I ask you a non-cancer question?
Yeah.
Misery's on Netflix this month.
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Good. Well, they need to send me some more money then.
Well, I wanted to make you aware for that reason.
Okay.
That the check should start rolling in. But what's your best memory of making that movie? It's so iconic. You realize how iconic this movie
is. I know,
right?
I know. But my experience was very different. You know, it was the first really big movie that I had made. And the first day I went, and they had this beautiful trailer with powder blue interior, and I stayed in there about half an hour, and I thought, I'm lonely, you know. So what I did was I hung out on set every day, you know, just stayed there in between the shots, and as my friend Dustin Hoffman said, you stay plugged in. But I also got to watch the crew, and Rob Reiner had an amazing crew working with him, and I just got to see how everything worked. And that's my main memory.
Happy Sunday, everybody. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Dean, joining us in studio. Remember, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer. Think about your neighborhood. Think about the women in your neighborhood. 1 in 8 women, which
think
is
about
just
your circle of friends.
It's just crazy. Mm-hmm. Joining us in studio is the medical director of Lynn Sage Comprehensive Breast Center at Northwestern, Dr. Sally Friedewald. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning.
It's so great to have you here.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Last time we talked, you were on the phone, so this is a first time for us.
Yeah, this is fun. We're seeing all the runners around here. It's great.
And Dr. Sally has been on Living Healthy Chicago with me doing some talk about mammography and screening, so it's good to have you here in studio to continue that conversation.
1 in 8 women. That's just startling to me. Crazy. My sister is a breast cancer survivor. It's
yes,
nuts.
It is. It is unbelievable. And like you said, there's just always somebody that you're going to know, whether it's a close friend or a family member. So it's good to have this month to bring everyone's awareness to it.
Has that number increased over the years, or do we just know now it's 1 in 8 because so many people are getting screened and they're finding it and they're finding more instances?
Well, it's probably a combination of both, but we do know the incidence of breast cancer is increasing about 1% per year. So definitely more women are getting it, but we're also finding more because of screening.
Talk to me about screening. How often should women get screened?
So we believe that women should get screened every year beginning at age 40. That is following the NCCN guidelines and the American College of Radiology. And that means that when women get screened every year, we find the most number of cancers.
If it runs in your family, should you think about getting screened prior to 40?
Certainly. So that's for the average risk woman. But if you are at higher risk because you have a first degree relative with breast cancer, you should come 10 years prior to when they were diagnosed. So if your mom was diagnosed at age 45, you should come at age 35.
Oh, wow. And tell me the difference between screening and the regular screening and the 3D, which is the newest thing, right?
So 3D mammography or tomosynthesis is the new type of mammogram, and it has been shown to pick up more cancers, and we call fewer people back when we screen women with the 3D. So the traditional mammogram, which is the digital mammogram, is what we have done previously, but now if you can get a 3D mammogram, that's what we would recommend.
Well, why don't they do that all the time, the 3Ds?
So it takes time to get the machines. It was FDA approved in 2011. So at Linsage at Northwestern, all of our screening machines are 3D capable. So definitely ask your breast center, the one that you go to, whether they have the 3D mammogram. But I would say that a 2D mammogram is better than no mammogram. So if you don't have access to the 3D, that's okay. Still get your mammogram every year.
So explain the difference. The 2D mammogram is what we're traditionally, what we know. The 3D is like, and you explained this to me off the air, like looking through the pages of a book.
Right. So the 3D mammogram, the way it works is under the same compression. So yes, you still have to be compressed, unfortunately. But we take multiple low dose images across the breast and we reconstruct it into something like a book where instead of having all of the words superimposed on each other, now with the 3D mammogram, we can open up that book and look page by page and try to find something inside that book.
Is there a radiation thing with the 3D compared to the regular one? Is that why they don't do it every single time?
There is slightly more radiation associated with a 3D, but it's still below the FDA limit of 3 milligray. So it's still very, very safe to get the 3D mammogram.
My wife's mother died of breast cancer. So she goes every year. I sit in the waiting room and wait. And the callbacks. She used to get the callback all the time. The last few years, not so much, but the callbacks are horrible. Why are there so many callbacks?
Well, really, out of 100 women, 10 women would have to come back for additional imaging. So about 10% of the time we call people back. But with the 3D mammogram, actually fewer people have to come back. We were able to bring that number down. So what we have to do is just look a little bit in different angles and different ways to try to find out if there's truly something there or if it's just some overlapping tissue.
Advice for people that are listening right now about going in for the screening process?
Well, definitely go every year.
You got to go in.
Go.
I don't understand why people put that off. Just go see the doctor.
You know, it takes a long time to get your appointment. I mean, I scheduled mine a year in advance because so many people are trying to get in.
Yes, although we do have next day availability at Linsage. We have two other sites where patients can go on Belmont in Lakeview as well as in Bucktown. But it is intimidating. I think women don't like the compression, but it's so worth it. And for a few minutes of discomfort, right, we can potentially save your life.
Well, they flatten it into a pancake, right?
Seriously,
that's how my wife describes it. You don't understand what's going on in here.
How many pictures is it with the 3D? Because I just did it, and I can't remember. I mean, I forgot. I don't remember. Yes, well, it just smashed, but whatever.
A standard mammogram is 4 pictures, so it's 2 of each breast.
That's it. I have a friend who was diagnosed with breast cancer. She is a breast cancer survivor. She's on the other side of it all this year. Congratulations to her. And we prayed for her all year long. But she, instead of getting a mammogram, was getting a thermography. And she said, you know, when she was first diagnosed, we said, how did you miss it? Did you get a mammogram? And she said, I was getting thermography. And they didn't catch it. And she said it had something to do with monitoring the heat and the blood flow. What's the difference between, is the thermography the same as a mammogram or it's completely different?
It's totally different. The mammogram uses x-rays and we're the randomized controlled trials, which is the gold standard for determining the effectiveness of a test, has shown that we save lives with mammograms. Thermography has not shown to save any lives. It has not shown to necessarily pick up more cancers. So we really don't recommend women getting thermography. The mammogram is the way to go.
So better off going to get the mammogram.
Dr. Sally Friedewald in studio with us from Northwestern. You mentioned that it's been increasing by 1% every year. What causes that?
Well, we don't know. It's probably a combination of genetics and environmental factors. So, you know, it's important that you lead a healthy lifestyle. And hopefully we can do more research to figure out exactly what is increasing that rate.
Is there anything women can do? I know, don't smoke. But is there anything they can do?
Well, certainly get screened in terms of early detection. So that's the best thing that you can do. But as I mentioned, keeping your weight down, doing a lot of exercise, and just leading a healthy life will definitely help you.
And what's your story? Why'd you get involved?
You know, I really, really enjoy working with patients. I love seeing them. Usually when I see the patients, they are scared out of their mind. And it's so nice to be able to go in and calm them down and tell them that we're going to take care of them. And they've done the right thing by coming in and getting screened. And if they do have breast cancer, then I can help them along their pathway.
And we've heard of cases of male breast cancer. When should men seek out getting screened?
So the only male population that should get screened is if their family members have the BRCA gene or they're extremely high risk of developing breast cancer. About 1% of breast cancers are in men. Usually men present to us not through screening, but because they have a lump in their breast, so a palpable abnormality. If they feel a lump, they should definitely come in. Most of the time, it's a benign cause or not cancer, but it can be a small malignancy. So we definitely take extra pictures and look.
I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to talk to a breast cancer survivor on the phone coming up next. Dr. Sally Friedewald in studio with us from Lynn Sage Breast Center at Northwestern at 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Pete McMurray, Jane Monsouris. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Remember, 1 in 8 women will get breast cancer. In studio with us is the medical director of Lynn Sage Comprehensive Breast Center at Northwestern, Dr. Sally Friedewald. And 1 in 8 women, but I feel like we have so many breast cancer survivors. Is that because we're catching it early?
Absolutely. It's a combination of both screening as well as the improved therapy for patients. So oncologists or the cancer doctors can't treat breast cancer unless it's small and it hasn't spread. Then otherwise, they aren't very successful. So it's important that we screen. And then as soon as we find the cancer, then the oncologist can help cure it.
We love these success stories. On the phone with us is Sarah Wood, a breast cancer survivor. Thanks for joining
Hi,
us.
Sarah.
How are you, Sarah?
Hi. Hi, Pete. Hi, Jane. Hi there.
Just to let everybody know, we had your husband, Kerry, on to talk Cubs on Friday, and here we are talking breast cancer with you. Yes.
We're a one-stop shop over here.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for you, but I feel like you were thrust into this position because you've always done fundraising with the Wood Family Foundation for years and years and years, and now suddenly you're now a spokesperson because you're a breast cancer survivor.
Yes. I you know, if you would have asked me a few years ago, I would have been shocked to hear you say this would be kind of the path that I've been taking, but you know, our family and myself personally, I am an advocate at heart, and I would love to use my experience or what I've gone through, the path that I took, and if it could help anyone, and if that stressful, horrible time in my life, and for my family, if I could use that for good to help others, then it would be worth it to me.
Dr. Sally has said that you got to get screened early. How did you find out?
You know, my mom was diagnosed with ovarian when I was 26, and I, you know, it was the first time cancer had hit that close to home for our family, and I just felt that I should go and get checked, and the benchmark, the age to get checked was 40 at the time, and they kept telling me that, you know, that it's not, you know, you don't have the gene, it's nothing to worry about, this is, you know, she's postmenopausal, this is something that probably just, you know, was just not very common and to not worry. But every year I went back and got checked on my own. And I was seen at Lynn Sage from the time I was 26 until when I was diagnosed at 37.
Wow.
I mean,
so you had gone every year for 10 years. And it was that one time 4 years earlier than the norm that we should have gone in that they found something and you got that second call back.
Yes. And it was, you know, it's something where if I had waited, I just turned 40 this year. So when I was diagnosed with stage one at 37, I had a chance. I had a chance. It did not enter my body. It did not go into my lymph nodes. I had a chance to have a double mastectomy and know that it was not going to be a part of my life anymore. But I think that if I had waited until I was 40, until what the majority now, I think we're being told 45, which is frightening. But I think that you know, I was given a chance. So I think the more vigilant we are, the more that we ask questions, the better we can help ourselves.
Dr. Sally, what would you say if cancer is in your family, should you go earlier?
So certainly, it's important to figure out what your family history is of breast cancer, as well as ovarian and other cancers. So as long as you can map it out, then you can have better strategies to get screened. Each individual situation is different. And so if you have any questions, certainly go to your doctor and see if they can refer you to a genetic counselor or geneticist to help you figure out what your screening strategy should be.
And Sarah, how often do you have to go in?
You know, now that I've entered 2 years, I'm seen every 6 months, which it's funny. It's a little more comforting to be checked more often because you like that everyone's kind of looking at you and checking you. And then so now I'm up to 6 months. And then, you know, the further along I go, 3 years, 5 years, then it will be less and less. And eventually, you know, I can't say you'll never worry about it. I worry about it all the time, but I don't think about it as often as I used to. It's not as consuming as it was. But I'm definitely checked quite often and at Lurie Cancer Center at Northwestern, and I have a great team there, so I feel very, very comforted.
So you should go in and say hi to Dr. Sally next time you're there.
I might.
Please do.
That's when you enter the elevator and you go left. I go right, but I can still go left.
Oh, come left and say hello.
Yeah, that's how we found her. I went left after my mammogram. I went straight down there, Sarah, and I busted into the office and I said, "Where is Dr. Sally? I need her to come on the radio with me."
Oh, you know, I will tell you, I have such a love for Lynn Sage. I think it's pretty amazing that just when you drive down Superior and you see that we have a women's hospital, the entire building is for our care. How lucky are we? And then you have Lynn Sage, where I will tell you, the radiologist that I worked with, we were tracking the tumor that ended up being cancerous. But we were, you know, I came back 6 months later and I was given that chance and they were watching me and taking care of me. And it's from the warm smocks you put on and the volunteers that are in there. It's a fantastic facility. I can't say enough about Lynn Sage.
Well, you're a rock star, and having your husband on Friday to talk about the Cubs, Jane asked the question about your wife, Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
How proud are you of her for speaking out and inspiring others to get screened? And you're a spokesperson now.
Aww.
And I mean, he couldn't say enough nice things.
Oh, thank you. You learn what your man is made of, that's for sure. And I have a great support system, and I'm very blessed to have him. It's been quite a road, and I think you know, as long as we help each other, it's quite a community. And we always say it's a group that you don't want anyone to join, but I'm happy to have you. And I've loved consulting women and working with them and helping get referrals for doctors. And we just need to all take care of each other.
And you do so much for the children of Chicago with the Wood Family Foundation. And now you're opening up another part of that, and you're helping the women now too. So thank you for what you do for our city, you and your husband.
Oh, thank you so much. It's, you know, I'm thankful for all the care that we've had here to make it possible.
You're the best, Sarah. Have a great weekend.
Oh, love you guys.
Love
Bye.
You too.
Thanks,
take
Sarah.
Care. That is Sarah Wood. She is just the greatest.
She really is. Doing great things.
Dr. Sally, again, people need to get screened.
Absolutely.
Women need to get screened.
Definitely. Don't put it off. Don't come on your birthday because, you know, people try to do that and say, oh, I want to, you know, it's a good reminder. But if you do have to get called back, then it sort of ruins your birthday time. So try to do it on usually January, February, March is a good time.
And quickly, just get your appointment. Your insurance should cover it, or work with the hospital to make sure your every woman should be getting covered by their insurance company. And now we should all have insurance. To be getting covered.
Yes, you should definitely be covered. And in Illinois, the 3D mammogram is also required to be covered. So definitely get it if you can.
Ask for that, right?
Yes.
You're the best. Thanks
You're
for coming
awesome.
In.
Thanks for having me.
I mean, she is a great guest.
She's great.
You're two for two now.
She's three for three with me.
We have to give away the Garretts before 12. You ready to go?
Yeah.
312-981-7200. We have two tins to give away, Garretts Mix, and this is for Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
Yeah, so you'll get one for yourself, and then they'll send one to somebody that's impacted by breast cancer, whether it's a nurse or an oncologist or a caregiver or a volunteer or somebody who is a survivor or going through right now. So you'll get one for yourself, one to give away to someone you love.
312-981-7200. Tom, let's do caller number 7, and Garrett's website again is garrettpopcorn.com.
You got it, garrettpopcorn.com.
It's 720 WGN.
Hi, Kerry Wood here. Watch it all on WGN. Reminding you, the world champion Chicago Cubs conversation is right here.
Yes, sir. 720 WGN and WGNradio.com.
Hi, Barry Sterner, owner of your premier home mortgage lender, Townstone Financial. Interest rates are extremely low, so there's no better time than the present to do a no closing cost refinance with Townstone Financial if your interest rate is above 4%. Remember, Townstone has completed thousands of no closing cost refinances since 2002. And don't worry, there are no hidden costs. I guarantee it, and I own the company. We can also customize the payback period so you don't have to start over at 30 years or 15. Last week, I began a no closing cost refinance where the borrower was going to save over $100 per month. That's $1,200 a year. So give me a call now at 312-896-2111 and let me review your current situation. Lastly, do you have mortgage insurance or an FHA loan? Let us see if we can remove the insurance payments, which will dramatically reduce your monthly payments. The call is free and so is my time, so dial 312-896-2111. That's 312-896-2111 or go to townstone.com. That's TOWNSTONE.com. Townstone Financial is an Illinois mortgage licensee, 6629 and MLS 136639, Equal Housing Lender.
Consider it done with ABC. Right now, get your ultimate furnace tune-up for just $89. ABC Plumbing, Sewer, Heating, Cooling, and Electric. Book your appointment today at 4abc.com and consider it done.
Maybe it's a pair of shoes. Maybe it's a certain bike. Maybe it's a certain mattress. Whether you're running, biking, or even sleeping, the equipment you use matters. Beautyrest provides equipment for high-performance sleep to help you perform better than ever. For a limited time, get great deals on select Beautyrest mattresses during the Beautyrest High Performance Sleep Sale. Find a retailer at beautyrestretailers.com.
It's becoming more challenging to care for an aging loved one. There's help. The caregivers at Home Care Assistance are experienced in working with older adults. They provide the best care so your loved one is able to stay in their own homes. Home Care Assistance care managers create a personalized care plan and match the right caregiver with your loved one. With offices in three locations, they serve all of Chicago and its suburbs. Call 312-380-6716 to speak with a care manager or visit careassistancechicago.com. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, and for Dean Richards, who is on vacation. Coming up next, in studio with us, we're going to talk Cubs with Lou Kanellis for Fox 32. And Chip Carey is here as a bonus. I haven't seen Chip in years. This will be nice. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris, in for Dean Richards in studio with us. I don't know who I've seen last. We have our two guests in here. You can see him on Fox 32 weeknights at 9 o'clock doing sports. It's our good friend Lou Kanellis.
You could have seen me this morning, too, doing all the Bears shows, though the Bears aren't playing till tomorrow.
I know, I was here.
Okay.
You also brought a very special guest that I haven't seen in years. Chip Carey, it's great to see you.
Good to see you guys.
Thanks for coming in,
My pleasure. Beautiful day.
What a treat to have you here.
Thank you. Very kind. So my partner on Blue October that Fox has during this Cubs run.
Fantastic.
I am just stunned from last night's game. I really thought when Rizzo hit the home run, I thought this is going to be a breeze. I really did.
You and I were texting back and forth, and I said, great starting pitching. You said something similar, and then there was like silence. I think we were both stunned as well for about an hour.
Yeah, I'm hoping the sleeping giant Bryce Harper hasn't awakened. That's a big concern. You know, the great thing about playoff baseball is it really is an emotional roller coaster. Not only every game, but every pitch. And as we saw in game one, if a team makes a mistake,
right,
be it a walk, an error, a two-out hit, that's a rally. And anything can happen. And last night, one bad pitch turns into a game-tying home run, and then the pitch to Zimmerman, a three-run homer that ends up winning the game. So it's just such a fascinating drama for a game that people says is sometimes boring and too hard to understand and all that kind of stuff.
Not playoff baseball.
You see 250 pitches, two of them make the difference in the game, and that's what happened last night.
You know, I don't know if any of you guys had saw the post-game show that the folks over at NBC Sports Network, Dave Kaplan does a great job, but I watched their post-game show afterwards and saw Joe Maddon at the press conference, and he was immediately right out of the gate defensive because he knew that the doubters were coming his way about keeping C.J. Edwards in there and then having Mike Montgomery pitch to Ryan Zimmerman. And he brought up a great point. Listen, He made a bad pitch. You look at the numbers.
And he was lights out in game one.
He was lights out, but you see that C.J. Edwards against lefties, I think lefties are hitting less than 200 against C.J. Edwards. He felt in his heart 100% that this was the right move, and he just made a bad pitch.
That's it.
And to one of the best players in baseball.
Exactly right. And that's what happens. So much of our game has devolved, if you will, into this analytical matchup of numbers versus numbers versus going by what your gut tells you and what your eyes tell you. To your point, Lou, Edwards was great in game one. He did make one bad pitch to the one guy you can't make a bad pitch to at the one point in the game where you can't afford to make a bad pitch. And as my granddad and my dad always used to say, the best way to sum that up is that's baseball.
It is. Happens. Yeah. You're right.
But it's the naysayers like me. Like, I see Carlos Edwards Jr. come in. I go, oh, no, because I only remember the times when he throws the bad pitch and then we lose or we, you know, a bad play is made. So those are the naysayers, people that don't understand really the numbers you're looking at. But talk about Dusty Baker. Does he just want to get this thing over with? They put the camera on him and I'm trying to see what's going on in his head right now.
He's stressed, man. He's
man,
got a lot of 68
pressure. Man, 68 years old. Yeah. He's been knocking on the World Series door as a manager. Obviously went to the World Series with the Dodgers as a player, but, you know, didn't win the World Series with the Giants.
Right.
Almost got there with the Cubs. We all know what happened there.
2003, yeah.
Has gone 0-3 now with Washington. Was he around the first
No.
2 years?
No.
Who was manager back then?
Davey Johnson and Matt Williams.
Yeah. So went last year and ended up losing in five to the Dodgers. So he really, I went to his press conference the other day, and he feels that it's his time to go as manager of the Nationals to the World Series. And you're right. All I thought of was what the Cubs starting pitchers went 16 innings, giving up just the one run, the home run to Rendon yesterday. And I thought to myself, man, Dusty's got to be asking himself, how the heck is this happening again? We can't get the bats going. And then, as Chip just said,
one
all
mistake.
It took was one pitch.
Right. Yes, definitely. Bryce Harper, when he rounds the bases and takes off the helmet, the hair drives me crazy. The flip back with the hair, the combing his hands through the hair, and they keep showing
He's
it on
model.
TV. And we're upset because he just hit a home run. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
Sounds like a very jealous man, doesn't it? I mean, come on.
Well, if you
I mean, I'm
PDA.
Lebanese. I can grow an afro, but I can't grow long
He's
hair.
He's a good-looking man, you know? I don't want to like him either, but the hair and the face,
A month ago for a day in Washington, he actually had his hair cornrowed.
Oh,
if you can believe that.
Thank God we didn't see that.
He did that for a day. That didn't last very long.
That's
Look, the kid is an incredibly talented player. He is on his way to a potential Hall of Fame career. For him to be doing now, after the bone bruise that he suffered in his knee, I don't know if you've ever heard about a bone bruise, but it's he slipped on the base in Washington on August 12th.
Saw that.
He had that awkward thing with his knee that looked like he blew everything out. A bone bruise is so severe that you actually break capillaries in the bones themselves, so it is incredibly sore and painful. It is not a easy injury to come back from what I've been told by our trainers in Atlanta. And for him to be coming back and playing now at any kind of level is a testament to how hard he's worked and how lucky he is, quite frankly, to be back in the lineup. So he's the X factor. If Bryce Harper does what he does and is a threat in the lineup, this is going to be an interesting final three games.
And, guys,
he
has not done anything. I mean, if you look back, well, he missed his, 41 games with the hyperextended knee. But if you look at his past in postseason play, 14 postseason games before game one, he was hitting 211. All right, those are not Bryce Harper-like numbers.
Right.
My question for Chip is, because you hear it discussed often when you hear Harper's name come up, do you think he'll be the first $400 million player in Major League Baseball?
Might be. There are a couple choices there for me. Manny Machado from Baltimore is on that list. Nolan Arenado from Colorado, if he ever gets to free agency, is probably on that list. Heck, Clayton Kershaw is a free agent after next season. He might get some kind of insane kind of money. So
God, we forget about
Mike
him.
Trout.
Mike Trout, he's still got, I think, two or three more years.
Chris Bryant,
potentially. I mean, look, the game is flush in cash. It's a $10 billion industry right now. I mean, actually, Major League Baseball sold off part of their advanced media, MajorLeagueBaseball.com, all that stuff that they share equally. That was a revenue stream that was supposed to be capitalized at $120 million. It was fully capitalized at $77 million because they were making so much money. They sold 40% of that to Disney for $1.5 billion. So every major league team got a check for $50 million based on a, I guess, $4 million investment. So the money is irrelevant.
These guys are entertainers. They have a very short lifespan with how long they can play.
Yep.
And if you amortize it out over a 30 or 35 or 40-year career, quite frankly, you could make the case that a lot of them are actually underpaid.
Makes sense.
Chip Carey, Lou Kanellis in studio with us. We're going to take a break. I'm going to come back. We're going to talk about Lester and find out when you guys are going to be on TV next.
Sounds good.
Okay. 720 WGN. 720 WGN, the marathon, still going on right now. So if you're thinking about coming downtown, you may want to think twice. I know they're going to have rolling closures as the runners come through, but still, it's going to be rough stuff. In studio with us, they're going to be appearing on Fox 32. It's Chip Carey and Lou Kanellis. When are you guys going to be on next?
Well, I'll be on tonight doing my Bears show again with Dan Hampton at 10 o'clock and then Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer at 10:30 for Bears Game Night Live. And then Chip and I will be on tomorrow at 10 o'clock after Game 3 between the Cubs and Nationals. And right now, starting time is set for 3:08 at Wrigley Field tomorrow.
Oh, 3:08.
3:08.
Okay, we heard 3:30.
3:08, 3:30, maybe it's 3:30. I saw 3:08.
Okay.
You know what?
I believe you rather than anything else I'm hearing, really.
I should be
get there for a 3:08 start, and if it's at 3:30, at least you know you got there early.
Exactly.
I can have an extra beer.
I should be a production guy for Fox tomorrow just to get in because I don't have a ticket.
You're not going, you don't have
tickets? I don't have a ticket.
You're a big Cub fan, too.
Right?
We're sitting here talking about the Cubs. I thought you were getting all excited. You know, I thought we were going to talk a little Bears football.
Well, we're going to talk Bears. Trubisky. We're going to talk Bears in a second, but I want to ask you about John Lester getting out of the fifth inning. Well, Chip, what'd you think?
I thought he looked great.
Wow.
I thought John looked great. John Lester's a pro. He's been here before. Game one, Hendricks was outstanding. Mm-hmm. Lester was terrific in game two. Now Quintana in game three, as they said in the paper today. This is why the Cubs went out and got Jose Quintana for a game like this.
This is it.
He's matched up against Max Scherzer, who is a two-time Cy Young Award winner, a big-time strikeout guy, a guy that's got a hamstring that's somewhat questionable. If I'm the Cubs, I find out about that hamstring very early. I try to bunt on him. I try to make him move around off that mound to see how that leg feels.
Right.
And maybe, just maybe, you get a break, and Scherzer doesn't feel quite like the dominating Max Scherzer can be.
When Quintana first came over to the Cubs after the trade with the White Sox, he struggled in his first 5-6 starts. In the month of September, he was lights out. He was terrific. He was the all-star Jose Quintana that we saw last season. He's never pitched in the playoffs. Almost got there in 2012 with the White Sox. It's a different game, Chip. Do you think that the enormity of the game will affect him early on?
Chipper Jones of the Braves used to say all the time, in the early days of his major league career, the game moved a million miles an hour. When the game started to slow down is when he felt like, okay, now I've got this not figured out, but I have a handle on this. I've got this tiger by the tail, and it's not pulling me. I'm kind of guiding him where I want it to go.
Right.
I think that's the question for Quintana. First playoff start is very different from your first start with a new team in a big city, in a big game, or a big series. But if he can go out and just manage the game, pitch by pitch, and don't get caught up in all the big drama and emotion. Even if the Cubs lose the game tomorrow, they're still alive in the series.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So just go pitch. Go pitch your game and get outs.
Who wins tomorrow?
Well, the team that scores the most runs.
I'm asking your opinion, Chip.
You know, I think this is going to be a fascinating series. It's going to be fascinating the rest of the way. I know the Cubs do not want to go back to Washington and have to face Steven Strasburg in Game 5 the way he pitched in Game 1.
God, he was so good.
He was really good. You know, if Quintana can do his thing and Arrieta is Arrieta in Game 4, they've got a chance. Cubs are home. Crowd will be going crazy. They know the quirks of Wrigley Field as well as anybody else. And who knows, maybe that Cubby magic will sprinkle down from above the next 2 days.
You know what I've noticed actually going back to when they clinched in St. Louis, this is such a confident group of Cubs in that clubhouse. And Chris Bryant, yesterday after the game, showed his confidence again in when he was asked, well, you know, are you worried now? You guys had it under control, and now it's a 1-1 series. And he said, you know what? We were down 2-1 to the Dodgers, and we came back. We were down 3-1 to the Indians, and we came back.
In the World
and
Series.
And to me, there was that swagger, that confidence that I have seen from this team, especially over the last 3 weeks, where they don't care if they're down. And right now, they're not even down. It's even at a game
it's
apiece.
It's one game
at a time.
We feel
like with they're down
until
they're put away. They won.
Yeah. Until they're put away, they feel like they can still win any game, any series.
That's again, Bobby Cox, and I come from a Braves-centric atmosphere, so forgive me for the Braves references, but that's what Bobby Cox talked about in the playoffs.
Right.
Win every pitch, win every inning, win every time through the lineup, and you're going to end up winning the games and eventually win series. I mean, his mantra during the regular season was really simple. Win series. If you win 2 out of every 3 games during the regular season, you win 108 games. Now, at the time, it doesn't seem like that much when you go, oh, we just went 2-1 against the Dodgers or whatever. You win 2 out of every 3 during regular season play. You win over 100 in 708 games. That's pretty darn good. And that's all the Cubs really have to focus on. Win 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. That's all they have to do.
Lou, we got to talk Bears. Trubisky tomorrow night, Monday Night Football, makes his debut.
It's
our rookie.
Exciting.
It's about time. Oh, man. Are you kidding me? And you know what?
I was screaming about it for weeks.
Nah, you know what? I was the biggest Mike Lennon fan out there. I really thought, here, I had 100% confidence that Ryan Pace knew what he was doing in giving $18.5 million to a guy who was a career backup in Tampa. All right. And I felt that, hey, Pace and his scouting staff saw something in Mike Lennon that would be the bridge to Mitch Trubisky. I always felt the Trubisky pick was a terrific move, even him trading away to move up in the draft one spot. After 2 games, I said to myself, I'm not sure. And then after 4 games, I couldn't get – nice guy. Sat down, did a one-on-one interview with Mike Lennon during training camp. One of the nicer guys out there. And I pulled for him. But a guy who looked overmatched, who did not look like he belonged as a starting quarterback in
no
the NFL.
Confidence back
All I
there,
kept
yeah.
having was nightmares of Jonathan Quinn.
Oh, right? God, remember those I forgot days. About Jonathan Quinn.
And 8 turnovers in 4 games, no team out there. I don't care if you have the steel curtain defense of the Steelers back in the 70s. No team can win if his quarterback is turning over the football 8 times in 4 games. It had to happen. Whether Trubisky's ready or not, it had to happen. If it wasn't Trubisky, I was all for 100% Mark Sanchez. I just could not watch Mike Glennon anymore. Now, what I did notice in the preseason with Mitch Trubisky was when he was on the football field, there was an energy on the sidelines with the rest of his teammates that I hadn't seen with any other quarterback out there.
Really?
Those players that usually sit on the bench when the offense is on the field were standing on the sidelines watching number 10 to see what the rookie was bringing to the game. And that's what he will do tomorrow. Not only are the fans excited, the players are excited. Because, Chip, you can attest to this. There are players on this Bears team that are playing on one-year contracts. If they finish up with 1, 2, or 3 wins, it's tough for them to go get another deal somewhere else coming from a team that won 3 games because obviously their numbers aren't going to be where they think they should be. All right. Everyone's affected by the poor play of a quarterback. This gives all those players hope. Not only fans, not only John Fox, who may not keep his job if this team doesn't turn around its season.
He won't be back.
All right. Players as well. So this inspires the whole organization along with the fan base of Chicago.
Players know who should be playing. Some of that's out of their control.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And now that this is in their favor or what they think should be happening, maybe you're right. We'll see what happens.
Final word tonight, 10 o'clock.
Final word, 10 o'clock with Hamp. 10:30, Joniak Thayer, Bears Game Night Live. 10 o'clock tomorrow night, Chip Carey, Lou Kanellis, Blue October.
A lot of sports going on.
And Chip, do you stop by Harry Carey's when you come to town? Did they give you a free meal?
Well, I was there last night. I'll probably be back again if you twist my arm.
I'll talk to Grant for you.
Please talk. Okay. Grant's tough. But it's a great place. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to see you again,
man. Good to see you guys. Great to be back.
Lou, you know I love you.
Oh, I love you,
Pete. Best of Monica.
My family here.
This is great.
Pete and Jane.
Oh, I love it. 720 WGN. Thank you, Dave.
Hi, Pete.
Yeah, that's me. I'm sorry.
That's you.
Okay.
Sticking on the job.
Lou Kanellis and Chip Carey just left.
Are they the greatest?
First of all, I love Lou. I've worked with him for years. He's a good friend, but I haven't seen him in 6 months. And when you haven't seen somebody in 6 months, you always try to catch him real quick. I'm like, can we just go out this week? He's
yes. Between. You have to get in the list.
But I've always liked Chip Carey.
He's
and
fantastic.
The fact that Chip left his hotel to come down here to do it was very, very nice. Pete McMurray, Jane Monzuris in for Dean Richards, who is on a cruise. So we'll be in this Sunday and next Sunday. We're going to check in with Bob Fry, a friend of mine that is running the marathon. We checked with Bob at mile 12. He said he would finish right around 1 o'clock. So
it should be getting close.
We'll check in with him. The marathon runners are walking right past the Allstate Showcase Studios here down Michigan Avenue. The marathon wrapping up, kind of.
Every time they go by, I get the chills because I'm so proud of them.
Yes. All right. So we have some entertainment news. We got to talk about SNL from last night first.
Yeah. Did you want to read the sponsor? That's later.
Yes.
Oh,
after.
Thanks. Sorry. Okay. So let's start with SNL last night. So the host last night was Gal Gadot. She's Wonder Woman. And the musical guest, Sam Smith, who we love, absolutely. Yeah. But they did the cold open with Jason Aldean, who was the performer on stage in Las Vegas at the festival. And he talked about the tragic event that happened there.
I'm Jason Aldean. This week, we witnessed one of the worst tragedies in American history.
Like everyone, I'm struggling to understand what happened that night and how to pick up the pieces and start to heal. So many people are hurting. There are children, parents, brothers, sisters, friends. They're all part of our family. So I want to say to them, we hurt for you and we hurt with you. But you can be sure that we're going to walk through these tough times together every step of the way. Because when America is at its best, our bond and our spirit, it's unbreakable.
Wow, that was wonderful.
Yeah.
Then he goes into a petty tune.
Then he goes into a petty tune.
I won't back down.
The perfect song, too. It sounds great.
Jason Aldean, I posted it on my Facebook page if you want to watch that video.
Yeah, and you should. And we're just playing it. But speaking of Tom Petty's songs,
yes,
as he's passed earlier last week, his song Free Fallin'.
Yep.
It has spiked more than 6,000%.
Oh, I'm sure.
Since he died. It was downloaded by fans.
I'm sure.
From 1989, Free Fallin' has been downloaded over 6,000 times. 6,000%, excuse me.
6,000%. It's gone up.
Yeah. Of course, everyone's now listening to the music.
That happened with Prince. That happened, well, Michael Jackson, Prince, and now Tom Petty.
Yeah, and also,
that was a rough one for me.
Tom Petty. A lot of people.
Yeah.
He just played the Monday
nowhere.
Prior in L.A.
I know.
And here's what it says. You just don't know. So you always be kind and you always love and you tell people you love them because you don't know.
Paul Sullivan from the Chicago Tribune last week, if you check out his Twitter, he took a picture of Petty with his back turned to the crowd where it said Petty 40. It was his 40th anniversary tour. He was wearing a Cubs jersey with the back with Petty and 40. And it's just a fantastic picture. I'm like, oh, my God. So I stole it off Twitter, and I have it.
You used it.
Yeah. No, I didn't use it. I just have it on my phone.
And then talk about was it the University of Florida at a timeout? All the people in the arena were singing?
80,000 people.
Yeah.
Yesterday. Yeah.
Amazing. And he is from Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We want some more entertainment news?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So Joey Fatone, your favorite NSYNC-er.
Joey Fatone, who was in my Big Fat Greek Wedding. Yes.
Yeah. Your favorite boy bander, he's not going to rule out a reunion for NSYNC for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Come on.
Yeah, seriously. So unconfirmed reports that
NSYNC's
Justin,
not going to play the half the Super Bowl half.
Justin Timberlake.
Oh, okay.
Has agreed to be the headliner, but if JT is the headliner, then he's going to get all of his boy band friends to come up and have a
Are
reunion.
Are you sure? So let me get this straight. So
I'm
Justin
sure.
Timberlake is going to do the halftime show at the Super Bowl.
Right.
And he was in NSYNC.
Yes.
That's where Joey Fatone comes
Fits
in.
Fits in. Right. And so then Joey and the rest of the fellas all join him on stage. You know how they do on the Super Bowl? And they have the one performer, and then
sure.
they do a mix of everybody
I think
else.
That would be kind of cool, but Joey's got to get in shape. He's got to get in shape for that.
I think he's fine. He's just
no.
one of those people that's in shape, but he looks like he's out of shape.
No, JT, Justin Timberlake,
Amazing.
Looks great, in shape.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see the other NSYNC guys show up with pot bellies.
Would you like to see a reunion for NSYNC at
I mean,
Super
I was
Bowl?
Never a big NSYNC fan, but sure, why not?
Would you like to see Justin Timberlake?
You know what? I've always wanted to hate Justin Timberlake, but I love him because he's a guy's guy. He golfs. He's funny.
Yeah.
He's just a good dude.
Be great if you can get Jimmy Fallon up there, too.
I'm kind of Jimmy Fallon'd out right now.
I love Jimmy Fallon.
I'm okay with that.
Well, they're so good when they perform together.
Yeah.
Who else would you like to see at the Super Bowl halftime?
The Stones, Paul McCartney, Bruce Springsteen did it a few years ago. Gosh, that's a good question.
Well, you could pick anybody in the world that you'd want. Who would it be? You know, so right now the only thing in my head is Justin Timberlake thinking, well, that would be a great show.
That
what
is.
Else, what else would he do?
They want mass appeal. They got it with him.
Yeah, because he reaches everybody.
Right.
Yeah. American Idol is back.
When is it back?
Well, it's going to premiere on ABC.
Yep.
So it's on a different network this time.
Yep.
No word on when the premiere will be.
They
but...
keep saying next year.
Oh, 2018.
Right.
I know, but they're doing auditions right now because they have the panel of judges, which is Katy Perry,
mm-hmm.
Lionel Richie,
yep.
who I love, and Luke Bryan, who is a country music star.
Yep.
I love all those people. And they say that their chemistry is just amazing and they're loving each other. Katy Perry's getting paid like some ridiculous amount of money to be one of the judges.
Yeah, how does that show, how is it going to make money?
And by the way, Ryan Seacrest back.
Yeah.
How is he going to do that with Kelly and Ryan when he tapes in New York and has to go back to L.A.?
They're going
to
fly back and forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to fly back and forth. Daily. He was talking about that. I hate the fact that I know this, but I was on a treadmill the other day and I turned them on and he talked about it. Yes.
So he's going to fly, go there for the thing in the afternoon, then fly back that night for the show in the morning in New York.
Something like that. Or they're going to do it on a weekend.
Oh, kind of around his schedule.
Yeah.
Because he pops into some of the auditions and maybe he won't be at all the auditions.
Or he can take a red eye. He can do that.
Yeah, he'll sleep on the red eye. Mm-hmm. It's not like he's going to be in coach or anything.
Yeah, you're right.
Full recliner.
I mean, you picture yourself right next to the bathroom in the back of the plane. Ryan Seacrest isn't doing that.
No, that's no, me.
Not happening.
Can I say I love Lionel Richie?
Say every you, woman loves Lionel me. Richie. He's that guy now that everybody loves. Like years ago, 15 years ago, it was Tom Jones. Now it's Lionel Richie.
I love to listen to his music in my car. It just makes me happy.
Everybody loves him.
Okay, good. Pete, if you could date anybody and it wasn't your wife, and it's a celebrity. Who is it?
Elizabeth Shue.
Well, are you going to send
Blake Lively, Elizabeth Shue.
You get one. Pick one.
Well, you
is
know.
Is it Blake or Elizabeth?
You know it's Elizabeth because it was her birthday on Friday.
It's her birthday. Did you send her a cake with you jumping out of it?
Pete sends me
a text message, everybody, with her picture. And then he follows that up with an email with the same picture of Elizabeth Shue. He's like, I love her.
What happened to her?
I love
her.
She
was in The Karate Kid. She was in Cocktail with Tom Cruise. She was in everything. What happened to Elizabeth Shue?
She's just living her life.
She's only 54.
Yeah.
What happened to her?
I know she's probably doing stuff. If you looked it up, you're obsessed with her. I'm glad you haven't, because that would be weird.
That was a celebrity crush back in the day.
Andrew Shue, her brother.
Melrose Place.
Good looking guy.
Yeah, he hasn't done anything since then.
Neither has Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday to Elizabeth Shue.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Is it time for the Greek Islands?
Yeah, Greek Islands.
Jane's Entertainment Report brought to you by Greek Island Restaurants. Enjoy the warm Mediterranean ambiance of authentic Greek dining at the award-winning Greek Islands Restaurants with extra virgin olive oil, seafood, wines, herbs, and spices. We got a Greek right next to me.
I mean, Greek Islands, it's the best.
Imported directly from Greece, they provide you delicious and healthy meals. Favorites include whole Mediterranean sea bass, baked chicken. Is it Raganiti?
What do you got there? Oh, Riganati.
Riganati? Okay. Mm-hmm. And homemade gyros, which are the best.
And you can get some pasticho and domadas.
What are you saying? Do we need to? You sure?
You know what it is.
With the holidays quickly approaching, it's never too soon to plan for your party. Private party rooms available at both Greek Island restaurant locations, so call now to reserve. Need catering? Let the Greek Islands do all the work, or just pick up your party trays and serve. Since 1971, the Greek Islands is Chicago's first choice for great food and reasonable prices. Don't forget, parking is absolutely free. Visit Greek Islands today in Chicago at 200 South Halsted or in Lombard at 300 East 22nd Street. Greek Islands, America's most popular Greek restaurant.
Amazing. You drive right up right in front of the building in downtown Greektown. You get out, they take your car.
Mm-hmm.
Both locations amazing. Been to both. Have you been to both? You got to go.
I've only been downtown.
I say the best Greek food in Chicago, my kitchen, and then Greek Islands.
It's 720 WGN. 720 WGN. We talked to this man earlier. It's Marathon Sunday, 40th anniversary here in Chicago. It's a friend of mine that's running the marathon. We checked in with him when he was at mile 12.
12, right.
This is Bob Fry. Let's find out where he is. Bob, where are you?
I'm at about mile 22.
Oh.
I've not made quite the progress I was hoping.
So, Bob, you got 4 miles. You have 4 miles left.
Yes, I'm going to finish. It's going to be okay.
How do you feel right now, Bob?
I'm a little tired. I've got sore feet, my knees hurt, my hips hurt, and I need a beer.
Bob, do you go to work tomorrow?
I don't think I will, Pete. I think I'll call in sick.
I mean, your body has to hurt after a marathon, after 26.2 miles. I can't imagine the next day. It's rough stuff.
I think even people in really good shape, which means better shape than I am in, are sore the day after a marathon.
Are there a lot of people around you still running with you in big groups?
fortunately, there are a lot of people. It's not lonely out here at all. There's still a lot of support, and there are a lot of people. I must be bringing up a fair chunk of the rear of the crowd. I started late, and a lot of people around me are walking also.
Well, we made you walk. I blame Pete for causing you to be a little bit longer in your race because we made you walk for several miles waiting for us.
Okay, I'll take that.
Yeah.
Bob, when did you start? How many hours have you been running?
The wave started at 8:35. I went across the start line at about 8:38 or 40, something like that. So what
gosh.
Is it right now?
It's 12:53, yes.
Yeah.
Wow, 4 hours. I mean, nonstop.
Have you been running the whole time, except for talking to us?
No, there have been some times when I've walked through some of the drinking, you know, some of the aid stations and walking. Yeah, I'm moving very slowly. My 10-minute pace has deteriorated.
That's okay. You're
I like
doing
to think
it.
We were a big part of that,
You're
Shane.
Doing
nice
it.
Job. Bob, last time we talked to you, you told us you saw a great costume, a T-Rex costume, a guy running in that. Have you seen any more?
Well, I haven't seen any quite like that, but you know that the costumes on the guys in Boys Town are just phenomenal. They're along Broadway. There's a stage that these guys get up and they dance and they play music. And
so fun.
It is the most amazing thing I've seen.
And I also hear going through Chinatown is fun, too.
It is. You're right. There are spectators with the Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
Those are called the Chinese dragon.
Okay.
And lots of people. Yeah, there are lots of people in all the neighborhoods. Little Italy. Yeah, there's people all over. The crowd is amazing.
Pilsen is fun, too, because they've got all the mariachi bands out.
Oh, yeah. So, Bob, you're going to finish by 1:30.
Yep.
That's an optimistic finish. I hope that's right, Pete. Yes.
All right, buddy.
You'll
take care
it.
Of yourself.
Well, thanks for checking back with me. I'm still all here and still checking.
All right. Good luck. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Thanks, you guys.
That's my buddy Bob Fry, who is in the marathon right now.
That's fantastic. He's been moving along.
He is a funny dude.
Through the entire city. How great. He's covered a lot of ground. We've been sitting here.
Can you imagine running for 4 hours? That hurts just to talk about it.
Well, I can't believe the people walking by the window who are wearing their medals and their race numbers and they're still walking.
Yeah.
I'd be sitting somewhere.
Well, what are you going to do? You really can't get around in the city.
You got to walk somewhere.
It's crazy.
Any buses going?
That's a great question.
I haven't seen one all morning.
Beautiful day in Chicago. If they started the race at 8:30, it was like 60 degrees, and now we're upper
74?
70. What's the temp, Dave?
We have 73 at O'Hare, only 69 along the lake right now.
It looks a little warmer. You got to dress for, what was the rule?
20 degrees warmer than what your race weather started.
Okay.
If it started 62, you dress for 82.
So you're wearing shorts and a T-shirt. That's why people are wearing tanks.
Yeah.
I couldn't wear a tank. Too much chafing. A lot of chafing for 26
miles. Well, I
think
if you're conditioned, you're sort of you know what to put. You put the lotion on there, and there's also prep to do for your toenails prior
Jane.
To running.
Oh my god!
And you're not talking about a pedicure, right?
This pedicure is important. Yes, it is.
Shwani, this is all she's been talking about the last 3 days. Pete, if we need a segment, I have it. Talking about toenails in the marathon. I've read so many articles.
I'm worried about Bob's toenails.
Okay.
You know how toenails fall off. Are we going to, we want me to tell you what
well,
I think
you,
now?
Well, you got about a minute.
Okay,
go
fine.
Ahead.
So, of course, we know when you're training, I've lost toenails just from doing.
I've never lost a toenail training.
Well, then you're not working out hard enough. Lost toenails will grow back, but it takes about 6 months and the new nail will be thicker. What you need to do before running a marathon, so slather nails with lotion or coconut oil to moisturize the nail bed.
Okay.
Because what happens is that pounding and pounding on the nail bed.
Can't you put Band-Aids around
it's
them?
It's like a hammer.
Or a tape?
You want to keep it moisturized. And then you're going to treat your injured nails immediately. So you're going to put some antibiotic cream on them. You're going to soak your feet in peppermint tea. Yeah, it reduces the bruising underneath the nails. And then don't pull it off before it's ready. Let it fall off. Do not, I know you want to poke in there and get in there and pull it up, but don't because it can cause an
ridiculous.
Infection.
This is crazy.
And if it's flapping around, Go see your doctor.
Yeah. I got a guy.
You got a guy
if you need a foot doctor.
Yeah, see your doctor. Yeah. Soaking in Epsom salt helps.
Okay.
Yeah, and then antibiotic and a fungal ointment is good. Okay. There's going to be a lot of falling off toenails.
Shwani, you got that? Maybe you want to use that in the news later.
Now you tell me. Yeah. Now you tell me. After having lost a couple of toenails, banging them on doors.
This keep it just, taped up if it's falling
off. We don't
off.
Need to have this. I don't like talking about feet on the radio, especially
right.
a guy's feet.
Jane is right. It takes at least 6 months, maybe longer, for that nail to grow back in.
Can we go back to talking about the Cubs and food
and
in Greek islands?
If your brother wants to stick like a pin in it.
All right, it's 720 WGN. Thank